won't lie. Long as I see no wrong, I won't need to testify.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 13, 2018. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening or live over our radio or another network, you would like to ask a question, make a comment. Our call-in number is 605-475-3255. 3250. Our access code is 449389. Also, if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find our banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Tonight's scripture reading, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 43 through 54. So John, chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. Now, after 2 days, he, the Lord Jesus, departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went on to the feast. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believeth, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Okay, that was the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. Okay, is Jan here? I didn't see Jan yet. Terry, do you have the question?
Yeah, I'm here, but I haven't... I can work them up. I don't have them yet because I thought Jan was going to be here, but I haven't made contact with Jan.
Okay.
So I can work up these questions if you can give me a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll take on a few other things. Okay, a couple of things. We mentioned this last week. We did collect enough money to go forward with the case. We will be going forward with the case to sue the Bar Association, and the Federal Judiciary. Also, the United States Supreme Court and a few other groups of individuals. So that's going to go forward. We're working on that now. Not sure how long it's going to take, maybe another week or so to get all the paperwork together. But it's going to take a little while anyway, maybe a little longer. But we'll get it out as soon as we can, and we'll get it posted. And we'll let everybody know when that happens. Also, we've collected an additional $5,000, which we want to move towards. As we mentioned, we're going to move that over to working with the sheriff's project. We want to get 20 handbooks into the hands of every sheriff, so the sheriff and their deputies can have a copy of the handbook. It's a pocket handbook. We do have a PDF copy. You can find it up on our front page, nationallibertyalliance.org, and it's not far down because we do have a video concerning the sheriff, and it's probably right underneath it or right above that video. I think it's underneath it, and you'll find it's a PDF copy. Now, you'll also find that we haven't written the pages down yet. I realized there was a few things we did miss in that booklet, so I'll be adding to that, maybe this week or maybe next week I'll get that done, and then repost that up there also, as a PDF. We did not put in the pages. If you go and look into the table of contents, you'll find there's no page numbers. And that's because, you know, that's going to change a little bit, number one. And also, that's also going to change when we reduce the size in order to get it into a handbook size. The number of pages is going to be added to that. And, of course, the size of the pages is going to change. So we don't know what that's going to be yet. Pretty much once we're pretty confident that we've got what we want and we pass it over to the printer will work on that in order to develop the pages and then put the pages in for us, or they'll send it back to us for us to put the pages in onto that table of contents. But it is a good handbook. It does tell the sheriff exactly what his job is. It starts off pretty much that way, what his job requirements are. And that he is the, you know, the only law enforcement agent available, other than, of course, the marshals. The marshals are supposed to be law enforcement agents also. They're supposed to enforce the law, not statutes. Although that may not be necessarily so true either. Bear in mind, there are a lot of legal statutes out there, and that's one of the things I'm looking into right now to try to get into the booklet, a list of codes that are lawful, that we have given, you know, the legislature the power to write law in certain areas. So we'll get that into the book, the handbook, and we'll also, you know, we'll get that updated. Okay, let me see what else we have. So anyway, yeah, the sheriff's handbook. We did send an email out. We, you know, there are a lot of people that have jumped on this and started giving $50, some more. And we had one person who gave us $1,000, and we had another person who gave us $5,000. So that's why we have about $10,000 right now. And but those who have not given. You know, if you can afford to give $50 or more, it's appreciated. But even if you give $20, it's a one-time thing we're asking for this particular project. We did break things down. I'm not sure whether I'm looking at the most accurate numbers, but they're close enough. We're looking at the sheriff's handbooks to buy them. We're looking to purchase at 100,000. Handbooks, which will have more than what we need, but some sheriffs will probably request more, so we'll send them more. But then we might just sell them also. But it looks like it's going to cost us about 35 cents. We're not sure on the price yet, but that's what we're running with right now. So 35 cents for 100,000 is $35,000. That's the cost of printing the handbooks. We're looking at about 31,000 sheriffs, and we're figuring 20 handbooks per sheriff. And we figure about $650 each for mailing. But I didn't take into consideration the packaging. So we figure an extra buck for that. So that comes to $23,000 and change. So we're looking at about $57,000-$58,000 in order to get handbooks into the hands of all the sheriffs. Now, we've got a large membership, and we have a lot of people who visit us. So I think we work some numbers out. If in order to get $55,000, let's say, well, we got about $5,000, so let's say $50,000. Okay. And at $50, it's 1,000 people. If 1,000 people get $50, we'll have enough. Some people may be able to give more. Some people may only be able to give maybe 20 or 30 or something, and that's fine. But, again, go to our donation page if you haven't given to this project yet. And, you know, we're putting these two projects together. We appreciate those who have already given, which most of that or half of that went to, like I said, the funds necessary to go into, you know, file a federal court case. And then the rest of the funds going to go to the sheriff's project. So, again, if you've given, we're thankful for that. And if you haven't given yet, you know, we'd appreciate it if you would pass the word on to others, and let's get this project going. It's extremely important. Education is the most important part of this whole process. Again, I go back to Jefferson. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Yeah, so it's not going to happen. If we're ignorant to the Constitution, if our sheriffs are ignorant to the Constitution, how can they exercise the law? How can they take an oath and be obedient to that oath? Same thing with any elected official. And maybe what we'll do is we'll get handbooks into the hands of some of these elected officials. We should have plenty left over maybe to do something like that. Education is the key. We, the people, need to become educated. We, the people, need to take control of our government. We, the people, need to consent to our government. And we consent by taking control of the judiciary through a grand jury and the trial juries and, of course, the administrators for those juries. We take control of the political process by becoming committeemen and we get to decide who gets onto the ticket, so we can then require that anyone that wants to become elected to go to NLA and take the courses. And after you've taken the courses, come back and talk to us. We'll ask you a few questions, and if you know the Constitution, we'll support you. Right now, it's either this criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. We have to take control. This is how we take control, and this is how we consent to government. We consent to the political process by making a decision who's going on to the ballots, by taking control of the committeeman process, which right now is a top-down structure. We have to take over the courts before we can take over the political side, because we're going to need to sue. We're going to need to go into the courts, and we're going to have just courts in order to win those cases and take back control and give it back to the people. We do have a plan for that. We've had a plan for that for quite some time. But again, we can't execute it until we win the courts back. We consent to our government through grand juries, through trial juries. The Constitution itself is a written document which lays out the criteria, what they can do and what they can't do. Okay, let's see what else I got here before we go to questions. That's it. Terry, go right ahead. Do you got questions or any announcements?
I have one announcement. Just me. Hey, we're on the Patriot Soapbox on YouTube every weekday, and it varies because one of the guys that is on there changes, but I don't know what days, but most of the days, I'm just going to say most of the days we're on there from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So there's an announcement, and we'd love to have people contribute to that. I have some questions in no particular order. Here's one. If a people can delegate to government no more than the rights they themselves have, how is authority to tax others lawfully delegated? And there's some follow-on questions, too. Do you want to hear those, or do you want to wait?
What was the last part of that question? Something about taxes?
Right. How is the authority to tax others lawfully delegated?
Well, we've set that criteria up in the Constitution. We've left it open to sales tax and things of that nature, which should support local government and could support also federal government to some degree. But there's plenty of ways for government to make lawful money, not as much as they do through this process with the IRS. And that's one of the problems with government. Government has too much money, and so we need to be taking some of those tax dollars away from them. But there's lawful taxes. Everything necessary in order to operate government as far as the process of legislation that we've given them, we've also gave them the power through legislation to create and control certain things and also to tax those things also. But clearly, it is unlawful to tax an individual's, we'll, for lack of a better word, we'll call it income, or salary, or earnings, or maybe some other words. Earnings may be a good word, I don't know. But it's unlawful to tax that. Yeah, because that makes us a slave. Yeah.
You know, people, okay. I just want to pipe in here that there is no lawful tax on people. This nation was designed so that if you didn't want to pay taxes, you just didn't do the taxable activity. So right, if you're home and you're working at home, there is no tax that they could just throw on you for the sake of taxing you. You have to be doing a taxable activity. And there's a big difference in that. People think that...
Right, if you can't avoid the tax, it's unlawful.
That's right. That's the point I want to make. See, there is no taxes administered to the people lawfully if they're not doing a taxable activity. That's simple as that. Anyway, go ahead.
The other thing, and local governments do this, is they tax your property. I mean, if they're going to tax your property and take your property if you don't pay that tax, then you don't own that property. You're renting that property from them. So, again, another unlawful tax. These are things that Trump's going to have to deal with, and so are we, the people, going to have to deal with. But we can't do much about it until we take back control of the judicial process. Well, it has to be on the federal level first, and the state level is just a no-brainer. It just follows right behind because, again, once the local levels start to violate our rights and due process and so on, you can move it right into federal court, and because it now becomes an issue, a federal issue, because that's their jurisdiction when your unalienable rights are violated. Was there a second part of that question, or was that?
Yeah, there's. I'd like to read the question. I can read the question again after this, and then read what he said on the end, which I agree with. You and I can't gang up on my neighbor and tax him or take his house. So how can a government be delegated that authority? And that's a question. Exactly. I ask because you mentioned on the last show that that things like sales tax and flat income tax are lawful, but I'm not seeing a lawful derivation of authority there. Well, he didn't say it. Well, oh, yeah, flat income tax, yeah.
I've never said that it's in the Constitution.
I knew already.
Yeah, there is no flat income tax in the Constitution. There is something in there where they can, you know, go collect something, but it has to be equal, consistent, you know, on the head of each individual. So, that becomes a problem trying to do anything like that because you have certain individuals who are poor and they would be able to pay maybe. But it's something that's really difficult to work out. I forget the language on that, but clearly there is no such thing as an income tax. That's unlawful. Every penny you make and earn by your sweat is yours. And the moment they put a tax on it, you now have become a slave to someone.
It's a direct tax. It's not an indirect tax. And that's why they're not doing it lawfully, because it needs to be apportioned equally amongst the people. And it is not. We have a graduated income tax, which is one of the platforms of the Communist Manifesto. So
yeah, that's a good point on the income being an indirect tax versus a direct tax. Because again, I know the United States Supreme Court made that clear in a ruling on the 16th Amendment, and so yeah, it's an indirect tax. You got to be able to avoid it or pass it on. If you're required to collect it, you have to be able to pass it on And it can't be a direct tax, so that's the key. Anything that comes directly, that you are directly taxed for, like your income, your home, anything, that's unlawful. Of course, they're doing that, and they're breaking the law, and we need to fix that problem. All right, was there some other part to that question?
That was about it.
Okay,
yeah,
but
there
I
was
never
just
did
one
say
last
anything
comment.
That there
it
was,
says the
I
same
didn't, thing. I never said they must have misunderstood, but I've never said anything
Quite
about
possible.
Anything being lawful in the sense of the income tax.
Okay, here's
flat
another one. Now, let's see. Who presides over the impeachment trial of the state Supreme Court justice if the entire state Supreme Court is being impeached? And they reference the article in the West Virginia Supreme Court.
Right.
Case
well, look,
that,
if I would imagine. Okay, let's think about that. In order for a state, because I heard about that also, in order for the state to impeach the entire Supreme Court, that would have to be done, of course, by the legislature of that state. And so the legislators of the state sit on that in that case. It could be, I know on the federal level, and I guess it depends, states could be different on each, they can have different rules and ways they're operating this thing. But I know on a federal level, for instance, the vice president sits in on Congress or the Senate, I believe it is. I think it's the Senate he sits in. Isn't that the case? Do you remember, Gerard, the vice president? I think he sits on the Senate.
If he's needed, he sits in the Senate.
Right. And then he gets to be able to take that vote to shift it, whichever way he wants to do that. And that may be the case with the state. You have a governor, and what is the individual that would be sort of a vice governor? What would they call them? Isn't there another lieutenant governor?
Lieutenant
governor, I think it's called.
That particular state, it is the legislature. They have to get 3/4 of the legislature to vote for it to carry. So they're putting it in front of the legislature. I don't know who's presiding. They have a team that did the investigation that's bringing the charges. So I don't know if that team sits there, but it's going in front of the legislature, and it's the state Supreme Court. It's not the Supreme Court.
Right.
It's their state Supreme Court. And they require a 3/4 vote of the state legislature. Now, I don't know if there's a tiebreaker or anything like that.
I think the state gets to make those rules up on themselves. So, because they're sovereign. So different states may do it differently. So however that would be, we'd have to look into the state. But it's a state business. It has no business of the federal government on this.
And I just want to say, if you want to do a count on how many times Donald Trump uses the word sovereign, numerous times he says he's returning sovereignty back to the people and to the states. And you know what that means? If he's returning true sovereignty back to us, all these illegal taxes and all this stuff is going to go away, because that puts us in control once again.
And if he's returning sovereignty back to the states, then he's got to make the point of nullification for the 17th Amendment and make it clear that it was never ratified anyway. And the governors need to nullify it and pull back those senators and send their own representation, and then the state will be sovereign. Until then, the state is not sovereign, because the federal government acts and does what it pleases, and the state can't do anything about it, has no voting power against the will of the, whatever the will of the state might be. There is nothing to support that. There's no voting power there. That was the it threw the balance of power off when they moved the senators to be elected by the people. The people already had representation. They had congressmen. The state needed their representation, and they don't have it no more. So,
and I'm sure he understands that too, by the way, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we sent him paperwork on this too, so I'm sure he's read that.
Yeah, he understands because we taught him. No.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm okay. Sure we taught him something. I should hope we have, but in any event, go ahead.
The last one is kind of a long one, but it goes down to one question. Would you like me to read it or summarize? What do you want me to do?
Well, let's try summarizing question. I mean, it's too simple.
Okay. They're emailing on the behalf of a family member in Pennsylvania, bureaucratic body known as the Municipal Code Association. Sounds like another alphabet soup deal. Anyway, he received letters since last June. Since then, he received them from very sporadically, with as much as 6 months in between, and they do not directly correspond to his questions and requests of them. He caused... the Municipal Code Association. They are claiming that he caused harm to a neighbor's animals through water contamination, And when he demanded direct proof of the damage and an injured party, they, the Municipal Code Association, refused to directly respond except through their attorney. On August 2nd, via a sheriff's deputy, delivered presentment summons telling them to either vacate the house or pay $1,000 per day of occupancy.
Whoa. What does the house have to do with this now?
I don't know. I'm wondering if Municipal Code Association is like an HOA.
Yeah.
That's just a guess.
First of all, that sheriff never should have delivered any kind of a paper of that nature for a municipality.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I'm not sure how this works with, what does a house have to do with the injury of an animal, you said?
Exactly. And, through the latest harassing response, they imply to be the injured party because of their waterways. From my understanding, time and time again, the state or bureau cannot be the injured party. That's exactly what she's saying. Her question is, could you please explain this? He has 20 days to respond to the summons as of August 2nd. He is consulting a bar attorney for assistance. Any help appreciated.
Okay, so they're summoning him. Now, the summons is what, to go to court or to pay? So, what exactly is the summons?
Either a hearing? Vacate the house or pay $1,000 per day occupancy.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't know why that is. There's no information concerning the house. I don't understand the question. Maybe there's something missing here. Maybe that person should rewrite this, and we'll try to hit it up next week. But I'll tell you what, and maybe that's too late, but it's a due process situation.
That's too late.
It's a due process. If there is a court hearing, then you got to move it into federal court. It sounds like there is no court hearing, that the municipality is just issuing these things and pushing things forward, and it's not lawful. This is a case where a lawyer might be able to be helpful. But again, at some point you might want to take it away from that lawyer, because I don't know where that's going to go. I don't understand any part of this case. So I have no, there's not enough information.
They're probably saying that his sewage or something that came off his property polluted, just like, what's his name, Joe over there with the ponds. They're saying that he polluted other people's water, and now they want him out because they don't want him using the house, because they're saying his house and his properties are the source of that pollution that did the damage. And so you need
to move
out.
Okay, so what are they saying? The septic system is a problem?
Or whatever. Or he had animals. I have no idea. Or he did some digging. Whatever it is, they're claiming that particular activity, that place or whatever, and the fact that he's there is causing pollution to these other people. And they're acting as the injured party, and they want him out of there. I'm sure it's totally bogus. Somebody probably wants his property, and this is what they're going to do with it. In other words, the municipality probably has a plan for that place, and this is the way they do a land grab. All of a sudden, that problem will mysteriously disappear once they get the property.
Well, the municipality doesn't have the power, the authority to fine him $1,000 a day, nor to demand him to leave. Only a court can get involved. And even they, there has to be something here for this. Now,
even when we go to court, they say, you have to file something for municipal law 50. And we turn around and say, that doesn't cover us. And that's what he should have done. Your law doesn't affect me. You have no jurisdiction.
Well, then, if they're claiming it as some kind of a court, then I would move it into federal court for cause, not giving you due process. Okay, but again, now you have to understand the law. You have to know how to do that. It'll cost you a lot of money to have a lawyer do it, and a lawyer won't do that properly. So that becomes a problem. I think that this person, in this case, is probably going to have to consult an attorney. I hate to say that, but sometimes you have to do that, see what they can do, and see what kind of leverage you can get, at least for a period of time, while you continue to look into it from other perspectives. But there must be something with something being polluted, and I don't know, but again,
and if the,
so
look at,
we
if
need
the sheriff,
more info.
If the sheriff delivered the summons, it, I guarantee you it came out of a local court because that's why he's doing
yeah.
it. He thinks that he's doing the right thing because he's going to do whatever the court tells him to do. So they probably went into the county court or whatever they did to get that hearing, some baloney judge or whatever, you know. But the sheriff probably thinks it's a legal proceedings, you know.
Right.
We
this is
know.
What's called the Nisi Prius Court, and the Nisi Prius Court has no power to fine or incarcerate. Although they do, they don't really have that power. So you could sue the heck out of them at some point later. But again, it's an uphill battle, and that's why we have to turn the corner and get to the next step where we, the people, take control and we have courts of justice courts. You know, again, it's going to be, it's, and we don't have enough information to give too much information, but again, a lawyer might be wise in order to start, you know, figure out what can be done. They might be able to come up with some strategies. So that's the way I would go. This again is
that's
all
just
the
kind of what
why.
She's saying.
Yeah, this again is all the reason why we need to educate our sheriffs. Our sheriffs need to know, understand that they are not there to enforce code. They are not there to enforce any court order that is not a court of record or at least a you know a court of proper jurisdiction. Municipality courts are not courts of record. They do not have the power, the authority to fine or incarcerate. Same thing with town courts, village courts, and so on. Now, I know here in New York State, our county courts are courts of record. So you can have a proper court in a county court here in New York. And again, you'd have to look in the constitutions of that state to know whether county courts in your states are courts of record. But yeah, this is a municipality court, probably a city court, village, or something like that. And they don't have that power and authority. And again, you know, sheriffs don't know that. They do not understand. When these town courts order an individual to vacate their house for whatever reason, maybe they're being thrown out by a landlord or whatever the case may be, that enforcement really can't take place and shouldn't be able to be taken place through one of these courts because, again, they're Nisi Prius courts and they don't have that power or authority. Needs to get into a county court if the county court is a court of record or into a state court in order to have this done. So, but the state courts, I know, at least here in New York, and I'm sure everywhere else, have pushed this off over to the towns and the villages and so on. So it's a problem.
Okay, well, that was
a mess.
Nope.
Pennsylvania is a little weird anyway, John. They got a couple of different courts that don't bear the same names that they do here in New York. They do things.
Yeah,
like,
we'd have to look at the structures to see how it works,
yeah,
but and also their constitution. You know,
yeah.
then we would know.
Yeah, I know that they have different departments that we don't have here. You know,
right.
and they do things a little differently.
Remember, equity courts are okay for this too. And you know, if an individual and again, this kind of a situation is the business, I think, of the county, in my opinion, as long as the county court is a court of record, and that could be heard in equity or in law. You know, in law, then they require a jury to have you thrown out or whatever. And in equity, of course, the judge can make the decision as long as both parties are willing to go into equity. So,
sure,
but
sounds
again,
like they're assuming guilty until proven innocent in this case.
Well, this whole system is set up that way already. It seems no matter what court you go into,
yeah.
it's a mess.
Okay, well,
okay,
that's the
it?
Last question that I have. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Is Brent here? Does anyone see Brent? I don't.
I haven't found him yet.
All right. Well, if he comes in a little late, maybe we can move over to him. I'm going to move over things over to Gerard. Gerard, you've got the controls here, right?
If you say
Gerard.
So.
Okay. Well, there you go. You can push all the buttons. Don't push the wrong ones.
I could do that a couple times, too, just to make things interesting. Anyway, we'll keep looking to see if Brent comes in. We got only a couple people in the queue, and it looks like the first one is Crystal Mack. Let me get you up, Crystal. Go ahead. You've been unmuted, Crystal.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, how you doing, Crystal?
Well, at least we could hear you. We kind of lost you now. She got in trouble with her mic. It's crackly. Sounds like she got a bad cord there, Crystal, or a connector.
Well, she may be on the phone, too.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There you
go. Yeah,
go
ahead, Crystal.
Okay, hi. Yeah, because I had left my family last week, and my aunt had passed away. And I had to rush back because they wanted to put this crazy judge up. He did the over-appeal on the appellate court. So I had to get back to the court on Friday, and I had a very bad accident. I flipped out the chair, and I was almost knocked unconscious, and I came down on my tailbone. And they had to take me to the hospital because they had those rolling chairs, which I had fell out of before, and quite a few people. So today I had to be there this morning in court. And my doctor, they think I might have a concussion. My left hand is all swelled up. But anyways, what happened? You got the paperwork. I sent everything over to you on Friday. And I also, when I went to the court, was it 2 weeks ago? Was it July? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. When the judge and the attorneys and then tried to over-appeal the appellate court, which I'm still in. And so this crazy judge again, he said, I will rule on it. I'll make my decision tomorrow. That was last Friday, the 3rd of August. And what I said in the court, I said, first of all, you know, I went over the whole thing about am I a public servant, about my constitutional rights, anything over $20. I'm entitled to a common law grand jury. If there's any case to be presented, you have a year and a half for both sides to present the case, and this is going on 4 years. I asked them for the due process proof of claim. Everything I asked, it was like the last 8 pages. So everybody's like, well, why did you keep on asking that? Because I said it's all in writing, and I'm going to put my affidavits, and that's my proof. So what I did, I got my transcript last Friday, and I did the last from page 8 to 18, which was all the questions I asked about the subrogation, the proof of claim, no contract, who signed my name, you know. And so that is my proof right there. And then I sent it to, I sent you a copy, John. Did you receive it? I sent a copy.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
Receive it, yes.
And I did the two affidavits. And I also sent it to Senator Richard Blumenthal and a few others. Okay. So yesterday they had another press conference. And it just so happened, we got some more people together, so they put us back on TV again, and they amended the first segment with the second segment yesterday. So now everybody's calling about, you know, this has been happening to them. We found out in Hartford, Connecticut, there has been over 42% of people that lost their homes and properties. And there's 33,000 attorneys in the state of Connecticut, and 200 are in the attorney general's office. Why is the state going broke? And they're buying up all the property. Same thing here. We got over 70,000 people that are homeless. So they had another little segment on TV last week, which hit the roof. All these people that are now in the homeless shelters, you go to the YMCA, and they will be giving you toothbrushes and creams and this and that and food packages, or, you know, you can go there for lunch. And I said, wait a second, a lot of these people end up losing their homes. And now another big problem that's going on, not only are people losing their homes, but now the tenants, their property is going through the roof because the East Coast is going to be the new Hollywood because the West Coast burning up, everybody's moving back east, you know? So people may have lost everything, their assets, but they got the money to pay for property almost cash, you know? They're going to be going for $1 million. And so now with this new reevaluation that's going to come up, everybody's going to end up losing their properties. There was another paper I sent you today, John. Definitely, and it's about it's the 1938, and everybody needs to file that, and I'm going to do mine tomorrow, and we send it to Washington. It's a foreign, I don't want to go over it, but you have the paper. Okay.
Okay, well, I'll take a look. I don't know that I got that one yet. You just sent that out?
I did that today. Oh, yeah, we just found that,
right.
You know. So when I went to court today, it only lasts not even 7 minutes. And, what I said, because in that transcript that I sent you, I asked the judge to recuse himself from my case because I said, you know, number one, they were perpetrating a fraud. Number two, there was a claim against him, and he mentioned that. Everything he mentioned, I came right back at them with it because they had two attorneys and the people from GE, you know. So they totally caught me off guard, and I said my prayer right there in the court, and I said, okay, because I was totally unprepared. But it worked out really great because everything from the time from 2014, I came right back at them, and I stayed on the same course. So everything about, you know, when did I sign my name, and I had my warranty deed, my quick claim deed, my life use. You told me that that doesn't matter. I said, who's going to change my deed? He goes, we could have ways of changing our deeds. And we had another huge incident where the landlord, they evicted this disabled man and his son and family. And the landlord was his brother who has the warranty deed. And what happened, this WPCA, which is a bogus sewer bill, and the bill's not even worth 12 cents, which they changed and they matched it up with the water bill. And they've been the ones putting the liens on the people's property for closing on it. So what happened on the deed, and I said, well, let me see your paperwork. I said, who on earth crossed out your volume and page? This is illegal. So I said, you go right back over there, and you get that man's name who told you that they put the lien on your property, and you get his name, his title, and you do an affidavit. I said, make sure you have a witness with you. So when he went back, the guy, he started chirping like a chicken. And like a bird, I should say. And what happened, he said, he gave this crooked attorney's name, which everybody in this whole city, this guy is the biggest Ponzi scheme who works for the city, who's been stealing everybody's property, including he put the lien on mine. And what they've been doing, it's a part of that MERS scam where they've been changing everybody's mortgages. Also, if anybody has a mortgage with Wells Fargo, Countrywide, oh, there's like five or six of them. Right now, people got a lot of money coming back, and they cannot take any more of those cases because there was a big lawsuit. And if you had any dealings with, I know Wells Fargo is one of them. Wells Fargo and Countrywide were the two that's off my mind, but there's a list. And I guess they're all going to be coming down because they all perpetrated a fraud on this. And what happened when they changed, we found out, I guess it's the life, the Federal Reserve, and after they pay off your mortgage, then they sit there and they keep on flipping. So they're getting like, so if you sold your house for $150,000, then they're going to flip it and sell it again. And every time they flip it, they get money off of your signature. I guess they said it's like the Federal Reserve. But I'm still learning about that. But I said I could not believe when they sat there and put this family out. So me working, when I was working in the past down there, I said, wait a second, because it was the same day of my court date. So I went over there first. And I said, look, I got to go to court, because I said, they want to put me out of my house too. And so after my court thing was over, I went back over there and I said, look, let's go down to City Hall. I said, I would like to speak to the city attorney. So now they all started passing the buck. And then they almost wanted to have me arrested because I said, these people are being put out their house. Who is the person? You know, so we had all the information and it came back to one of the no good crook city attorneys that used to work there. And I guess the other one's an interim of it. And as a result, they tried to stop. Then at that point, they tried to intervene to stop the foreclosure, the eviction of the tenant. And what they did, I guess they contacted the bank. So they said, well, you got to speak to such and such. Now, so the gentleman contacted the bank and said, well, when did you take over my house and how did you get copies? And he turned around and said, this attorney sold his house to him for $5,000. He wants to make a deal with him. So, I mean, it's just crazy what's been going on to the people. And I guess a lot of this stuff stemmed with that Shelton Silver, you know. But and make sure, get the people to go to the court. We've got to be court observers. Those affidavits are wonderful and powerful. We're going to be putting a letter together with this other one I sent you. And I'm going to submit it in all my files. Today, I had to do another motion. So, because the appellate court is still open, but this judge turned around and said, well, I'm taking it. Who is retired, by the way? And as a result, because it hit the media again yesterday, and we sent our senators, and make sure we send our senators, and everything we do, send them a copy so they are aware of this, you know? So they can't say they didn't know, because the majority of them in Congress are attorneys, so they know what's going on. And surprising to me, he read my case, and well, I did this and did that, but the other one I ruled against for your vacancy. Well, first of all, how could you rule against my vacancy? So in other words, you're telling them that I have to be at my house, but my case is still open in the appellate court, and they have to show proof of claim and all that. But meanwhile, while they have to, the appellate court is over you, and he said he had no jurisdiction. That's exactly what I was saying. So why am I here, and you subpoenaed me back here, and you had no jurisdiction over the appellate court, but you're going to put me at my house? So today, there was another judge that they brought in that is going to take over this one's place. I guess he's catching the heat now. But this is the same judge that has ripped off and taken, cripes, hundreds of thousands of people's homes. So, he's the same one we put the lawsuit against him. And that's what I asked him. I said, well, you know, I would like you to recuse yourself from my case because it's conflict of interest. I said, unless you're smarter than an attorney, we have no rights. Our civil rights, our justice, our constitutional rights, everything is being violated because you have the title and you aren't in charge. And the attorneys don't have to prove themselves to nobody. Whatever they want, they just take. And why don't they have to prove themselves? You know, that's why we ask for a common law jury. And a good thing that's all in there. But that's basically, that's, you know. But please go over, I want you to check those, because we want to get those, and then I'm gonna submit those tomorrow. And I think that's basically about it. Any questions?
Very good. Well, thank you, Crystal. We appreciate that.
Yeah, but as I said, all the paperwork, because we're finding out a lot of things, and it's good, though. You know, and I tell everybody to sign on and donate. you know, because everybody's going here. And I'm like, look, different ones want me to judge. I said I'm within L.A., and that's all I'm sticking with. You know,
and remember, there's powers in numbers, so, you know, you seem to be getting the people locally gathered together, and that intimidates them.
Well, not only that, I think some of the TV stations, people are watching because you have
that
a lot of
people. That intimidates them too, yes.
Yes, and see, you have, where we live, you have a lot of newscasts that live, that work in New York that all live here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's been catching it all over. I mean, yesterday people came down from, I've been getting calls from people all over, you know? And I just go to NLA and, you know, and I'm trying to promote this in the schools and in the colleges now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, a few people asked me to teach this in schools. I'm like, because now they're going to know more about it. So that's
well, you could maybe do some kind of a small course on this.
Yeah. Well, as I said, you know, yeah.
Hey Crystal, I'm going to send you a link. I want you to watch and see what you think about it. And it's this woman, April Lejeune,
mm-hmm.
and she talks about why Hillary Clinton and them aren't in jail because they're not creditors, and how they've removed themselves from the system and they don't have to answer to anything. Very interesting. She also talks about Donald Trump restoring sovereignty. I'm not done
mm-hmm.
with it. I'm like halfway through it. But
okay.
You have a, can you go on YouTube? Are you on a computer?
I can get YouTube now. I have this
I'll send you
iPod,
a link,
but I'm just
YouTube.
Learning it. But as a matter of, who's this, Gerard?
Yes.
Okay. As a matter of fact, you have my number. I'm going to get this other
email. I have
email.
Your phone number, but can I text you or can I Skype you something?
Yeah, you could text me on my cell phone. You have my cell number, right?
Okay, so I'll text it to you, and then you can take it and either go. You know, it's a pain in the neck on a cell phone to watch some of this stuff, but it'll work if you have to.
Yeah, well, as I said, no, because a friend of mine, she has a computer, but I can, you know, I was going to just, we'll get together on that. And
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You watch it, see what you think. It's about an hour long, very interesting, and I think it's right up your alley, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like, this is good, right? You know, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to be up your way, up in Newburgh in September again.
Well, you let me know.
Okay, definitely.
You know.
Yeah, but this is, it's, you know, people have had enough, you know, and winter time is coming and all these people are having heart attacks. It's just unbelievable. And the thing that everybody liked the slogan, what I said on TV, I said, who is the inter-party here? I said, the only thing you drag us in here to steal our property, to steal our life savings, you go home, whose life is being disrupted? You're not all losing no sleep. I said, our life has been turned upside down dealing in this court system. It's just like, are a bunch of monsters coming and saying, we're taking your property, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know? I said, it's everyone's life. And I said, not only is the people that you're stealing their homes from, you're hurting their families, you're hurting their children. Children are being displaced in foster care. I said, you think this mess started here in Mexico? This mess has been going on right here. You've been taking people. People are having breakdowns, going in the hospital, getting sick, and now the kids are parentless because you are destroying people's lives. And it's not accident. You're doing it, and you could care less. They're so cold-hearted. It's just like, who's scoring the big score? You know? And they're all up on the 6th, 7th floor. And they just come out like, how many millions of dollars did we make this week? And then you go downstairs and people are being taken out and people are dying and having heart attacks. You know, you are literally destroying lives, and it's very mean and evil.
Okay, Crystal, thank you. And just and when you finish that on TV, just say, give me liberty, give me death, because you're modern day. Patrick Henry well, there.
Well, no, I pray for them all. You know what? We got to pray for the evildoers, too, you know, because only Jehovah God knows the heart. And as I said, it just, you know, be kind to people. People just do evil things to people. And they, you know, they got to live with themselves. But you have a good night. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Crystal. God bless, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, thank you.
And I'll send you that stuff. Okay. Our next victim is Terry, I think. T from Canada.
Hello, how are you today?
Good.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, and I really appreciate the enormous amount of, you know, dedication that the speaker has and, you know, people following through with people's cases. And, you know, where we really rely on National Liberty Alliance because, well, on a personal level, you've saved my life. And, you know, you have the phone blitzes and you do things that have made a difference. And, you know, I think we're coming to a great place right now because a lot of, you know, there's so much more attention now. I know I passed along the National Liberty Alliance, the website. A lot of families that I know of that are, you know, unbelievably, families are losing their children to this fraud scheme that they've created. And I've actually, what I do is I investigate much of what the individual might be going through to see if in fact it's fraud or if it's legitimate. And I mean the enormous amount of fraud, abuse of power, and I actually call it organized crime that is actually going on in our legal system that no one would ever imagine to be true. A lot of people are going on with their lives every day as neighbors and not realizing that the neighbor that is in need is, you know, a lot of these cases are unjust. And so when I think of John Dorash, you know, the weekly addresses that he gives and dedicates his everything that he speaks about, I mean, I've actually listened for a number of years now. It takes so much energy to help people. It takes so much energy to support people. And I know that there have been some members that have gone in separate ways for different reasons. But I have to say that everybody that I've been connected to with National Liberty Alliance, whether they're with National Liberty Alliance right now or they've ventured off into different areas, I never met them on a face-to-face basis, but, you know, I was very successful because of National Liberty Alliance with my personal case, and that's why I'm a dedicated, you know, I mean, I actually live by the grace of God right now. I mean, I don't have a full-time job. I don't get food stamps. I don't want them. I'm a capable individual. There are people, neighbors that I have become acquaintance with under great duress. And, you know, I've said, hey, let's call Liberty National Alliance. And they've helped out the people that I support here in Connecticut. I want to mention the word Connecticut because the legal abuse syndrome is so grave. And the corruption, you know, where they do not have sheriffs here in the state of Connecticut, which is a big red flag. I know you had former members such as Eric Hughes-Jones. And I met someone recently named Daniel Leach. You know, I know they're members or former members. But I got to say that they are still dedicated people helping people. And, you know, I want to be able to give $5 a month to National Liberty Alliance, and I don't even have it to give. But because of the grace of God, you know, I'm still a supporter. I'm still a great supporter. But I can't give anything financial because I don't have anything financial to give because that's how bad you know, the devil is working his schemes. And I just hope you can...
Look, you give what you can give. And you know what we give? We give information. I mean, we can't necessarily take care of everybody. We try to answer questions, but, you know, you got to help yourself. And what we do is we help you help yourself, basically.
Exactly.
And it's all about
I'm helping myself, and I help others because, you know, it's really, this is really a God thing. I really, really believe it. I'm not a holy roller by all means, but I am truly a believer.
But there is a great awakening taking place. There's a lot of people coming awake now, so it's very exciting. And
it's very exciting right now.
It's a long time overdue. A long time overdue. And there's horror stories every place you go. And, you know, this system wasn't put in place overnight. It took years. And what happened is what's going on the federal level, the arrest of the sealed indictments, the pedophiles, all this stuff, you know, that was all about child trafficking, but that system's still in place. Those workers were taught to do certain things. I mean, a lot of them are just useful idiots. They have no idea what they're doing. You know, they'll go out and collect kids, and they don't realize that those kids are going into a system, and then they're disappearing and becoming abused, but they're just doing their job, you know, making their paycheck. At some point, the whole system is going to close down, because basically what's happened is the rat lines that were supplying these children to these people are being closed down. So pretty soon there'll be no more money in it. And that it's, you know, look at, I was appalled to learn that the whole child trafficking thing surpassed illegal drugs in the amount of money being made every year. Now that should tell you that this thing is huge. If they're surpassing illegal drugs, I mean, you know, illegal drugs, you know, how much money you're talking about that changes hands and gets laundered and goes all over the place, you know, and a lot of what they've done with the Patriot Act and stuff, it was, oh, that's about terrorism, illegal drugs. Meanwhile, our own CIA is dealing drugs. We got troops guarding poppy fields. It's disgusting. But that's all being closed down now. And as that gets closed down, things will get better here, because there won't be the demand for it. And so it'll be easier for us to fight them when they can't make any money by fighting us. You see what I'm saying?
Well, what I can tell you, sir, is this. In the state of Connecticut, now, I don't talk about anything unless I can give you hard copy facts of it, because that's how much I've learned from Liberty National Alliance, is that I've taken it and I've asked the good Lord, what would I do, you know, in a parable, what would I do if I walked by somebody who was in need on the ground there? I had to take it on a personal level and say to myself, what am I going to do? And what I've learned is there are people who are getting pensions, and they will do anything that they can. They will sell anybody out. They will use anybody as a victim to keep their pension flowing for the rest of their lives. And that's the number one problem right there. If I work for the state of Connecticut, that's what the people of the state of Connecticut will do to save their own pensions. But see, I've got a little bit of integrity that I'd rather be starving, and I'd rather be going to soup kitchens, which I do. I've always been a working class citizen. I went to a parade high school, and I can do anything. I can do any skill like I can do. And they've taken blue collar workers who worked for the state, you know, not for the state, but as independent employees who gave their heart and souls as a blue collar worker when the industry was thriving. Now they've, you know, the legal system has created ways to steal everything from the blue collar worker, whatever they earned, their pensions and everything. And I hate to say it, but it's a humanity crime bigger than you could ever imagine. And I hate to say that, but what I'm saying is I've investigated it myself. And I'm just glad that because of National Liberty Alliance saving me from being involved with what they've created, a sham to get immunity to drug people, like to get they're actually committing humanity crimes on the temple of the Lords. You know, your body is an amazing, you know, if you disagree with something somebody says, they'll have you drugged with psychiatric drugs, and they'll make it, they'll run you through the legal system, and it's such a humanity crime, and I just want to share with you that as a female, you know, I could fall into that little system very easily, but look at Dr. Nazar, how much he victimized these females. I mean, it's so sinister to believe that everybody was willing to protect this man and not take the word of a female. And all some of their families, they committed, you know, members of their families committed suicide. No one believed these ladies. And now that they really truly are believing them, and that's just one man. There's plenty of doctors in the system here in Connecticut that get $300,000 pension for the rest of their life because they're affiliated with a college that handles the jail system. I mean, to me,
it's a RICO. They're all, and hopefully that'll all go down here in the very near future. You know, and you know, it started out with women and children, but the other group that is recently very exploited is the males. When men go to court with their kids,
agreed.
They rape them over the coal. They take their licenses. They lose their jobs. They beat them down. They charge them all. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. I mean, that's why people need to band together. You know, and there are groups starting, help groups where people band together. You know, look at this whole CPS thing is disgusting. We need to close them down. Although, you know, you can find a place where they're actually needed, and that's where they don't go. I mean, there is child abuse out there. Don't make no mistake about it. You know, people that have drug problems do not. They abuse their kids just if only by neglect. So there is a lot of that goes on, you know. But
I agree. You know, but can I say this? No, I want to say this one thing. Mm-hmm. National Liberty Alliance is like a founding organization who really was like a grandstand from what I've, you know, I stick with you 100% all the way. I mean, I'm venturing off in different areas too, but I just cannot forget National Liberty Alliance because, I mean, I just think of every single week, you know, you're very successful. You're giving up your time, your money, your energy, your health. A lot of people's health are declining because we're aging. But look how much you've given in keeping this organization alive. And I just want to see success happen. I think that you're all doing the right things. But some other organization can probably take credit for what you really started here. And that's really what I'm trying to say is that, you know, a lot of people may have left, but their hearts and souls are probably really with National Liberty Alliance. Mine is. And I can't say enough about National Liberty Alliance.
Ask about the success of a writ mandate.
Our success is in our people. That's why we're successful, because of who's with us. It's not, we do a lot, but it's all the stuff that comes through that other people do and give. A lot of people have given a lot of money and a lot of time. And you know what? This is just the ground floor, believe it or not. This thing is ready to explode. And, you know, we want to establish those common law grand juries in every county. We've just scratched the surface. All we need is that critical mass, that nod from above that says, yes, this is the way it's supposed to be done. You're supposed to have grand juries and go ahead and put the administrations in. Look, we walked around, went from court to court to court, coming in, telling and demanding that jury room. They wouldn't give it to us. Well, they haven't forgotten us. And one day we'll go back through and we will take them. We will sit them. And that's our goal, to establish that system in all 3,100 and whatever it is, 54 counties. So we can't forget that, because that's what's going to keep the government in check. And that's what we don't have right now. We don't have an unobstructed grand jury or jury in this country right now. And don't get me wrong, those juries that they're putting in, sometimes just by the fact that you got 12 normal people, sometimes they make the right decisions because it's just so blatantly, you know, obvious, and it happens. Even though they've tried to stack the juries, you know, they get over the top, the judges get stupid, the prosecutors get stupid, and the jury's going, what's going on here? So they've gotten so bad that it's even hard for them at this point, a lot of times, you know, even though they got their plants in the juries, they still don't succeed. And that's a good thing. We want to see that happen more and more. And it's up to us to educate them.
Yeah, I agree. What I could say, too, sir, is that as I've investigated it on the ground floor here, they're stealing the employee wages here in the state of Connecticut. They're stealing the freedom of speech here at a lower level. Anybody on Social Security, they'll run them through the legal system because, you see, once you – if they can arrest somebody, you know, to get the jail, you know, $35,000 per capita – they'll arrest anybody, even if they're on Social Security, because then they'll rob their Social Security benefit. All I'm saying is that they're going after senior citizens.
They got all kinds of methodology, don't they?
Yes, they do. And I just wanted to share, there is one person, her name is Senator Heather Summers. If you can get her as a speaker for Connecticut, I mean, she's actually going after some of this secret court system where they actually rob the people who gave their heart and soul to this country, all steal for $300,000 pensions per year for people. I mean, that's a little extreme. And I was very naive. I'm just I'm a church-going woman who raised my children to believe in God. And what they've done to me when I came back to my own home state of Connecticut with my military husband, you know, after we've served in the military, I come back here with a out-of-state license. And they wanted to run me through the system. And I was very naive, but what I always really believed in, you know, was what the good scripture says, and that is, you know, don't let anybody, you know, God's going to give you your voice. It's not going to be, you know, even as a female, God's going to be my voice, and I don't have to fear. I have to fear God and not man. And that's really what the good Lord, that's what the good Lord did for me. And I just want to say thank you to John, because, you know, every single week he's dedicated, gives his heart and soul. I hope he gets excellent nutrition, you know, because he's got a family that need him in the future. And I just want to say thank you to all the behind-the-scenes people. And with my heart and soul, I just want to say thank you very much for all that you do.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. God bless you, too.
You as well,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, yep. Okay. I don't know. I have no name here, but you've been unmuted.
Hey, Gerard, Jeff Gall here. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good, good. Hey, I'm wondering if you can maybe direct me to someone that's pretty familiar with the committeeman undertaking. I was told by Rensselaer County that there's going to be a primary, even though their petitions, the two people that they want, the county Republican Party wants, did not circulate the committeeman petition. They circulated the county petition. And what I've read in a rule, it says that if the they have to go by what, you know, the way the party normally does it, and they don't do it that way. Normally they don't have a primary, and I'm just trying to find out if I should sue them once they you know, announce a primary.
I don't know. You know, we did an awful lot of writing on the committee man, and the only thing is that different states have little different rules. I mean, they're basically the same, but you got it. You have to read their party rules, you know, whether you like it or not, to get in there and see what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. Look, you don't need a primary if you don't have the primary. Since there's more than one person in the party running for the same position, is that not the effect?
Well, so they're claiming that there's three of us. Me, I'm the only one that circulated committeeman petitions, and the two that the county leaders want, but they didn't circulate committeeman petitions. They circulated the, you know, county, the regular, you know, county petitions where the county would elect them without, you know, without a primary. So it just seems kind of inconsistent to me. It seems like they,
well,
then they have,
you know,
a primary.
That's a loaded question, because when you, there's committee men and then there's committee men. There's elected committee men and there's appointed committee men. When you walk your papers in a district, now you're talking about for the position of committee men or for some other political
position of committee man.
Right. So when you walk your papers for committee men and you get, like over here, it's 5% of that voting district.
Same.
And,
yeah.
Right. So if you get 5%, you're deemed elected. That's it. I mean, unless somebody else is coming up in the same district that walked them, then you have a primary. If you're in, and you have to be in the same district too, by the way. If they're going to primary you,
right,
that means somebody else walked their petitions, and they got 5% of your voting district also. Now you two have to run off. But I guarantee you, they didn't walk their position, that the party chairman put them in place in order to be appointed at the first meeting.
They did circulate petitions, but what I'm saying is that the petitions are not committeeman petitions. The petitions are the normal
of the county committee. Right, member
right.
of the county committee. Well, they don't understand that. They're going to look at you with three heads when you say that.
Oh.
But you're absolutely right. In other words, they're not real committeemen because they're appointed.
Right.
And they haven't been elected. And they walk their positions for a different title, member of the county committee, which is
correct.
Controlled by the county chair, and he can
right.
fire them anytime he wants to, because they're, you know, you as a committeeman, you are an elected official. Even if nobody had to pull your lever, the only way they got to pull your lever is if there's two of you running in the same district, then they put your name on the ballot and people have. But I don't even remember ever seeing a committee man on a ballot. They do whatever they can do to keep that off of there, to keep that hidden. You know, to make sure that two people aren't running for the same position. And what they'll do is they'll say, well, just you go over here and you run over there. Now, the law says that you can only run in the precinct where you live. But that's not
right.
what they do, party rules. Party rules, they
right.
mix and match them. They switch them from this precinct to that precinct. You're in a rigged system, you know.
Right,
you're
right, with, absolutely.
You're dealing with a lot of rigged things. But just keep your documentation good, because as things go back through and they get straightened out, guess what? If you walk your petitions, I don't care what they say, at some point, you're going to be the only elected committee man. You'll
right.
be the guy running everything.
So,
well, so know,
I mean, well, the
interesting situation.
Yeah, it is for sure. Well, the New York State Board of Election rules say that they have to follow what the normal, it says the party rules are in this situation. And the party is the Republican Party. And that's where, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, it seems vague. I mean, are they talking, I mean, the party is not the town of East Greenbush where I'm running. It's not the county of Rensselaer. The party is the Republican Party. And the Republican Party generally does not even circulate a committeeman petition. So, you know, since they don't circulate it, and they never have a primary, I guess more importantly, they never have a primary for a committeeman because they are appointed. So since they never have a primary for a county member, rather, they never have a primary for them, they can't now, because it says, you know, that it has to be handled the way the party normally handles it. So, I mean,
I don't think they can stop you from walking a petition.
Right. No, they can't stop me. No,
they can't.
Well,
no,
they're not trying to stop me from walking a petition, but they're trying to stop me from being a committeeman.
Yeah, but if
because,
you walk a petition in a precinct and you get 5% of the votes and nobody else walked it in that precinct, guess what? You're the committeeman. I don't care what the party says.
Well, nobody else walked it with a committeeman petition, but they did walk it with a county
member of the county committee.
Right.
Well, see, they don't know the difference. They don't. They
right.
at least I don't think they know the difference. So, if you walked it, and one of their people walked the same precinct, they got to put you both on the ballot now, don't they?
Right. Well, they walked it. One woman walked it for herself and someone else. So that's why there's three of us, even though there'd normally have two. Now there's three of us.
You can't walk a petition for somebody else unless you're a certain status. I think it's like you got to be a notary public or something like that. Usually.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about collecting signatures for other people. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've been in it, but there's rules about how you go about that. Who can get you signatures? Like, let's say you want to run for committeeman or any position as far as that goes, congressman, senator. Look, they give the committeemen petitions of the higher people. That's who walks the petitions of who they want for office. The committeeman is supposed to waude the candidate, ask them questions, and then they're supposed to pick a candidate. And then what happens is the committeeman walks their petitions, because if you're running for a position like governor or senator, it requires thousands and thousands of petitions to get in there. You couldn't do it yourself. So you have to have committeemen walk your petitions. But, you know, as a committeeman, though, if you want to walk your petition as a committeeman, you got to do it yourself. And the only way you can – there's only, like, two people that can do that for you.
Okay.
And it's very limited. There's certain rules. You got to read them. You know,
okay.
We're going to get back into this one day because we need to resurrect that whole system that they've killed, basically.
Well, I feel that I'm in a unique position. You know, I'm already kind of on the outs with them. The person that they have as a chair for our town works at the Board of Elections, and every time there's an election and we need her help, she says, "You can't call me during election season. I'm busy." The freaking, you know, the chair. So I've been challenging her, and that's why I'm in this position. So they, you know, they're trying to push me out, and you know.
Well, you know, we've gotten very much more of an understanding of things in the court system, and when it comes time to run that case that you ran the petition as committeeman, guess what? You're gonna be the leader of the party in your county, because they're all gonna be appointed, and you're gonna be able to fire them or bring them in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
the rest of them won't have that title. They won't be elected. They'll be appointed. And appointed
right.
people, you can disappoint them or reappoint them or appoint somebody.
Disappoint them.
Yeah.
Hey, Gerard, there was a guy, I think he might have been out toward Buffalo somewhere, or maybe down in Binghamton, actually, who was like the guru of committeemen. And now I don't see his name out there anywhere.
Well,
we learned
from Lenny Roberto for Primary Challenge. He was the one that we went to his meetings and stuff.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, John being John and myself being in there, we started questioning things, and we realized that there was a discrepancy in terms. All of a sudden, this business of member of the county committee versus committeeman. Now, Lenny
right.
was teaching it properly. He was teaching that you put committeeman in there. And I don't even think he knew what the implications of that really were. Because he looked
really?
At the old ones, that's right. And he said, no, it has to be done this way. And he was teaching it right. And we didn't realize it right away, but, you know, eventually when we looked into it, we realized that this is not the same position that they're doing. You know, the scam that they pulled by putting member of the county committee. What a communistic way of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Kind of like saying the criminal justice system. Well, actually, it is criminal. But, you know what I mean?
The criminal member justice system.
Yeah. So,
hey,
anyway.
Hey, do you know how Lenny spells his last name? You said Roberto?
No, Roberto. Like Robert, Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto. Yes, he's the one. Yeah, he's the one.
I don't know. He kind of got, when things started getting hot, and he got worried because they shook him up. So I don't know if he's in it anymore or not. But the other guy was from Ohio. It was, what was his name? He had that little video. He was the guru. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of his name. We had his video out there forever. I know I have him in my email. I can't think of it, but I think he's still operating, though.
Really?
Yeah, and he's from Ohio. He's the one that had the original video that showed you the Ohio precincts, and, you know, he had that corny little video. He's sitting on the couch with the two lamps, and it was very effective.
I don't remember. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I'm definitely going to look for it. Because I got to beat these guys. It really, really annoys me. Here I am trying to do the right thing for the town, and they want to fight me. I mean, it just blows my mind.
Far for the course. That's the whole nation here, you know.
No, absolutely, it is indeed.
But I know his name, Jim Condit.
Okay.
Jim Condit. Look that up. He's around.
Condon.
Condit. C-O-N-D-I-T. I think.
Okay. Actually, that does sound familiar. That name does sound familiar.
Yeah. I forget the name of his website. It might still be up. If I get it, I'll drop it in Skype to you. How's that?
That'd be awesome. I'd appreciate it. All right, well, I don't want to take up any more time, but good talking to you. Thanks so much for your help, and keep plugging, guys.
Good to hear.
Thanks. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Felicia, Florida. How's Felicia doing?
Down here in Florida, I can take a
step. Oh, you're kind of breaking up. We'll do something with your mic there. Got a lot of scratching.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good. Keep it like that.
And I'm going to just ask them, and then you guys just let me know. One is, have you heard about the guy that won $300 million for the Roundup case for getting cancer? That's one. Two, what do you guys think about Donald Trump asking Americans to boycott Harley Davidson for getting their parts shipped across seas when actually he implemented the whole thing with the tariffs of the metals? And the third one is, what's going on with the nonjudicial foreclosures?
Okay, now, you said the first one, the guy with the Monsanto thing that won all that money, it's and they actually apologized and everything. It's really weird to me that they rolled over, and I don't know what that's all about or why. You know, it looks like he won the money, and they're going to give him the money maybe. You know, you would think that they would want to appeal it, but, you know, I don't know if they can, because if it was a jury trial and he won the money, that means that's end of story, I'm assuming.
It was a jury
trial.
Yep.
Yeah, so they can't appeal, and they made an apology. So that really, and I guess he was spraying it, though. I think he was using it. So he didn't win a suit on the stuff that's in the, you know, that the GMO. Is like in the corn, and then you eat it, and you become sensitized and inflammatory and all that. He was actually dispensing it and not taking the precautions that he should have, and that's how he came into contact. So I don't believe his suit was about ingesting the Roundup. I think it was because what he's proved is that Roundup does cause cancer in its raw form. What they got to sue them for is the fact that it causes cancer in our food, and that it ruins our DNA and denature and changes your DNA, which is very insidious. So I don't think, you know, that I don't know that much about the suit, but the little bit I read about it, that's what I'm inferring. It looked to me that that's what it was about, because they said he came down with cancer after handling it for years, and they didn't give the precautions on it, and blah blah blah. They didn't really say that he got cancer because he was eating it. So, you know, if they got one employee that was using it, they say, well, you know, he was stupid, he got it on his skin, blah, blah, that they're okay with, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not going to take it out of our food.
Right.
That's true. So he won all that money because he handled it, and he handled it improperly, and they didn't tell him not to handle it improperly. So, yeah, it's a victory, but it's kind of hollow, I think. You know, and I forget your second question, but the non-judicial foreclosures, look at, they're in that case that we're filing papers. We're waiting for them to give us that court. You know, they're trying to throw us out on this business with, you know, Rule 12, which they can't do, but they're trying to. And so, you know, one of the problems we're having is when we go into the court, you know, in the federal court where we file these things, and is that if they give you a civil cover sheet, and so then you're not under common law then, as far as they're concerned. Now you're under their admiralty civil law, and that's mm-hmm. part of the problem. And those non-judicial foreclosures, that was not, look at that case that we opened up and put in there. We put everything. We put the non-judicial foreclosures. We put the CPF. We put everything in that master case, and that was designed to put them on notice, you know, that there's crimes being committed and that, you know, we have the Congress and the Senate that should be taking care of this. And also by the judiciary. So we put them all on notice that this is going on. So if you bring knowledge of a crime to a senator, congressman, a judge, they have a duty to see that through, and they haven't done it. And that's sitting there. And it bothers them that it's sitting there, believe me. And
it's bothering me too.
Well, look, that one judge told us that he was going to dismiss the case, and the way that he on that particular case, he said, you got to have a lawyer, and if you don't bring a lawyer in here within so many days, it's automatically dismissed. And so then when the 30 days was up and we didn't get a lawyer, he sent a notice that this case is closed, and we sent things back that you can't close it, you have no right to close it, and that we don't need a lawyer because we're coming in as the grand jury and blah, blah, blah. So what happened is we have continued to file papers in that case, and somebody in the office, the clerk's office, continues to put them in under PACER. You know what that means? That means the heart is still beating in that case, okay? Somebody's afraid to break the law, and we made an impression on them. And regardless of what the judge told them, they're still putting them in. And every time we put it in, he said, I told you that you can't put these in this anymore. You know, so and we just ignored it and went on. And the clerk obviously ignored it because he or she, I don't know who it is, keeps putting them on there. Now, at some point, those things sitting there, getting older and older, they can't take it out because it's on the record. It's on the record.
Yeah, I don't want to wait 18 years like some lady that was on there last week saying she's been waiting 18 years.
Now, look, at the non-judicial foreclosures, we took them as far as we could go as a grand jury. I think we took them, and don't quote me on this because I'm not the one that worked on them, but I believe we took them to the default. And then we had a paper. I mean, you know, because you went through it. You know what was filed.
Yep.
We took them to default, and we gave notice to the sheriff that they were in default and that he shouldn't have acted on them. So all these people that acted on them are liable now. So at some point, whether they recognize our case or not, you already have papers in the court where they didn't answer and they defaulted. And I don't know, you know, whether you want to wait for us or not wait for us. It's still a case that you could bring into federal court, and you can bring all that evidence forward, and you can use that case to say, look, this is sitting in federal court. It hasn't been answered. The judiciary is not doing the right thing. I mean, if you can file the paperwork, I mean, see, the trouble is we can't get involved with everybody going into federal court. First of all, they're going to say we're not lawyers, and so we always have that hurdle to get in. But if you understand the rules, and John's making this book. Look, you don't have to wait 18 years. What you got to do is whatever you don't know, when he makes that book about going into court and the rules and everything, I know that you're savvy enough that you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to take that stuff that we filed in the court, and you'll be able to put it in your case, and you'll be able to run a new federal case on your case using what we did as evidence. And I think that, you know, that time is coming, like, very soon because of what's going on in the courts, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I do believe that, you know, restoring the rule of law that Donald Trump says he's going to do, and I got to believe he's going to, if he brings us back to our sovereignty, we won't have a problem. We'll be able to shoot all that stuff down. Now, as far as Harley Davidson, you said for people to boycott them because they get their steel from China. Is that what the deal was?
Yep.
And what did you say? He's the one that helped China get the deal? I don't
pretty much. I mean, he signed a new law about, you know, the tariffs of metals, and he increased the cost and all that, which is why I think they're outsourcing to China to stay afloat, basically.
Well, what happened with China and steel and all this other stuff this is what I heard from him. He said, look it, we have these trade agreements and nobody's following them, and we get the short end of the stick. When we send stuff over there, we have to pay a 25% tariff. They come over here. What China was doing is China was paying almost no tariffs because they were sneaking it through Mexico and Canada, who we had special deals with because they touch our borders, and they were bringing their steel over here, and that's what killed our steel industry, because we couldn't compete with the Chinese steel that was coming in here. They all went out of business. Look at Pennsylvania, all them big, and you know what it's going to cost to put them plants back in? Well, by putting the tariff on it, what happened is, and if China and these other places want to escape the tariff, there's only one way to do it if they don't want to lose money. That's to put their plants over here and operate them in America. Then there will be no tariff, and that will put Americans to work instead of putting Chinese to work.
Gotcha.
So that's the whole idea behind that. And, yeah, they want to make him look like a bad guy. But, look, he went in and he said, look, this thing is so lopsided. We've been selling our people, our workers down. Our Congress and our Senate has been making bad trade deals that were bad for us. And he said, from now on, it's America first. So this whole thing about boycotting Harley-Davidson, I'm telling you, that's more of a show than anything. I mean, he's trying to push his things, and sometimes you got to have a show like that. And of course, the other side's going to you know, get all the motorcycle guys mad at him and stuff. But what they don't realize is that it's very, very, very important that we get our steel mills operating again, that we get our foundries back in. Because if we don't produce anything and we don't have the means to make things, you can't fight a war. We don't make a nut or bolt in this country, and we haven't for 40 years. I know. I'm in the business. I buy the things. And I have not been able to get an American-made nut or bolt. And I got to buy grade 8 bolts for chassis. They got to be a hard bolt. And the stuff that's coming from China, sometimes they got grade 8 marks on it. And this is one of the complaints, is that those bolts are not really grade 8. They've been selling us substandard stuff. And then you have these accidents, bridges falling down, trains crashing, because they sold us a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? And we have no recourse with them, because their businesses are covered under the Chinese government. The government basically runs those businesses and practically owns them. So if you got a complaint with a certain business, what are you going to do? Start a war with the government of China? There's no redress for you, you know? So
don't they own our debt or something like that?
Well, they bought a lot of America's bad debt, which is unfortunate. And so what happened is because we bundle up all this bad debt, that's another story that they played with the dollar and the China, and China got the capitalism bug, and we said, okay, so we'll bundle this debt, we'll sell it to them, American dollars, the world reserve currency, and they bid on it, and they bought it, and it was all bad debt that they bundled, mortgages that weren't going to get paid, that couldn't get paid, and they sent it to China. And what Obama told them was, don't worry about the bad debt, because the bad debt is backed by the good faith and credit and the resources of America. So basically what he did was he said, all our mines and our coal fields and this and that are collateral to the Chinese, with the bad debt that China's holding. So there's been, you know, I don't know if you've seen it around, but there's a lot of Chinese that came over to America America to spend their American dollars, which you know, I mean, right now they're still worth money, but let's say the American dollar crashes for whatever reason, and it's not the world's reserve currency anymore, China's holding, you know, trillions of American dollars. What are they going to do with them? You paint your wall with them. Well, guess what? They're always going to be worth something over here. They'll come over and buy up all the businesses. They'll buy everything because that's the only place they can spend it. And they've been doing that. They've been dumping the American dollar, and they've been buying up a lot of our resources. And since Trump has gotten in, this business, like with the steel, this is a good thing, because if they're going to come over here, we make them put their factories here and hire Americans, and that's the way that we'll get out of this thing, you know? And I mean, you know, how could you fight a war with any, especially, I mean, look at it. China was always traditionally communist, they're our enemy, right? So
you know, I listened to one of his speeches today, and he knows what he's talking about.
What's that?
I listened to one of his speeches today, and he definitely knows what he's talking about.
Look, he's the first and foremost, he's a businessman. He understands. And he went to one of the premier economic schools in America. He's no dumbbell, believe me. It's very refreshing to have a president that can actually talk and make sense, and he doesn't care about being politically correct. I love him because he gets in deeper and deeper, and they keep trying to trap him, and the more they trap him, the dumber they look, you know? And yeah, he's a little crass and stuff, but it always rolls off his back. It seems like he always rises above that wave, you know?
Yep.
It's going to be very interesting, and I hope that he keeps this moving forward, because the sooner he does it, the sooner that these indictments go through, the sooner your case will be resolved, because you'll be able – look, at right now, you can't even – we've come to the conclusion that you can't go into those federal courts right now and get justice. Unless you can go in and get a court of record, common law court of record, Article 3 court, you're not going to win, because they're going to use their admiralty and statutes against you, and they're going to just close you out. And that's what they've tried to do with us. And so I'm not telling you to file your case in federal court right now, but it's coming very close to when you're going to be able to do that.
Obama didn't do nothing, and I have letters from him while he was president.
Yeah, well, biggest scam artist going, right? and look, he's gonna go up for treason, that boy. You know, I mean, they don't think so, but you know, what do you think he's doing in Africa?
I don't know.
Hide. He don't want to be here right now.
You say he's hiding?
Yeah, he can't. Look at these indictments come down, and things get unredacted. He's implicated in this whole treasonous thing that Hillary and him and all of them did with full knowledge, you know, and Uranium One and all kinds of crazy deals that they've been doing that are basic high treason. And that's the reason they couldn't indict Hillary, because the national security stuff that they did with the servers that she had, putting America's top secret stuff on it, and then taking money to letting people come in, he knew about it because he had an alias and went in back and forth. They have emails that he sent her and she sent him. I mean, he was using an alias, but we know where it went. We know who it was. So if Hillary goes down, guess what? Obama's going with her. They're all tied together at the hip.
Seems like they're all criminals to me.
They are. And the thing is they're not going to dodge this bullet forever. It's coming down now. And at some point, Donald Trump is going to order some of this report that they did, which when they ordered papers, they were like 99% of it was redacted. You couldn't even read the stupid thing because they don't want, imagine that, they don't want us to see what they did. And he could turn around and say, okay, I'm going to release that and make it public knowledge. The day he does that, they're done. And the reason he hasn't done it yet is because he doesn't want this. He doesn't want that flood to happen before he's ready for it. You can't even try these people in this over here because they own the judges and they own so many people. They've put their rat lines down. They've covered their butts. They have to do them under military tribunals. They have to take them out of the country. You think that you're going to convict Hillary Clinton in New York State over here in the Southern District? You're dreaming if you think that's ever going to happen. You know? I think a nuclear bomb will go off in New York City before they ever have a trial with her in New York, you know?
Okay.
But
we need
it's
a revolution.
That's all I can tell you, Felicia. It's getting very close.
Yes, sir. I'll stand mute.
Say, go ahead.
I say, yes, sir. I'll stand mute.
Yep. Well, look at when John gets that book finished, you should get one. Because if, by the time he gets it finished, which is, I don't know how many weeks it's going to take him or whatever, but I think it's good timing. You'll be able to get that, go through and do your paperwork and probably file it in the court and move forward. Because I think this thing is going to move fast. I think within the next 9-10 months, you're going to see major, major changes after this election. Hold on to your hat, be ready to go, because I really think it's going to go fast when it goes. So, I mean, that's my opinion, you know. I mean, don't shoot me if it doesn't happen. It takes 11 months instead of 9 months. It can't go. Look, it's going to be sink or swim at this point. It's either going to prevail or it's like going down. I don't believe that they'll ever win because I'm not. We're going down fighting either way. You know what I mean? And we'll be in a foxhole together, you and me. That's my dream. I mean,
we'll ever win.
No, I said I said if we don't win, then we're going to go down fighting. It's going to be ugly, and they're not going to. Yeah. They're never going to win fighting us. You know what I mean? Making things so bad, the way that Hillary wanted us to march us off into FEMA camps. I don't see that happening. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a regular American spirit, you know. Look, you're a fighter. I'm a fighter. They got their hands and they're wimps. They get a little scratch to go home. They're looking for vaccinations put on it or something. You know.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, hang in there and just keep watching, and you'll see, and you'll know what's going on when you listen. Not to the regular news media, but, you know, when it starts coming out in the regular news media, that's when you'll know we won. When those guys scramble to catch up and start telling the truth, that's when we can all fall over and relax a little, maybe.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Felicia.
Thank you.
Welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, we have Cynthia.
Oh, Gilad. Hi, Gilad. I don't know if you can hear me. My transmission seems to be crackling. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was listening to the calls, and it's just really sad. Today, I was on Facebook, and I'm on a lot of different groups, like court, family court corruption groups particularly. A lot of people are reacting to the horrible death of a, I think she's 10-year-old girl in the family in Pennsylvania. The father was abusive, and the mother dropped her off for the weekend, and he killed her. It was just horrendous. But mainly the reaction from the court and the president of the Bar Association over there defending the reaction was just like they were so defensive. One person from the court said, well, it's not like this happens every day, you know. I just can't. My mind is boggled, but I'm just really sad that there's like this fathers' rights groups and there's these mothers' rights groups and everybody's fighting. And these groups have been contrived by the Bar Association to create division, you know? It's the issue is not fathers against mothers or mothers against fathers. You know, this is, these
oh,
are
absolutely
like.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, these
they
are crimes.
If anything, they should band together.
That's
they
what I've been trying to advocate.
You said mothers against fathers. That's all, like you said, that's a divisive tactic. The
right.
fact that they're taking our kids away
right.
illegally, unconstitutionally, that's
right.
the problem.
Well, see, you know, there's some bad mothers. The kids should be with the fathers, you know. And there's some bad fathers, as you know, what just happened last week.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be with the father. I mean, this guy was violent. He should not have access to his child.
Courts always make the wrong decision, doesn't it? It seems.
Well,
like
they're working off of a formula. They're working off of a formula. They can't discern the difference between a good mother and a bad. A bad mother or a good father and a bad, they can't discern. So they have a formula and plug everybody in it. And it's actually like in the bad courts, it's to maximize profit to the court, you know? And so I was hearing these horror stories and everybody's all riled up and fighting the courts. And it's like, you know what? I mean, I'm done with fighting. I just don't want to be a part of it. You know, this is not, I am, number one, I serve God, okay? I serve God through Jesus Christ. This is not my jurisdiction. I do not claim it. I don't want to be a part of it. You have to find other ways to make money, you know, to bring in your revenues, to bring in your pensions, okay? You need to find an honorable way of doing that. Not on the backs of our children, you see? So anyway, I just find myself, because all day I was hearing these horror stories from families and all this, you know, anger going on. I just have to end up praying. I pray more than I just pray because actually I am standing and saying, this is just not like money laundering criminal enterprises going on. These are Nazi war crimes going on here in America, okay? And I'll say that to anybody. I don't care. You know, when you start hurting our children to bring in pension because you think our children is not as good as your children, okay? We're dealing with a mindset, a Nazi mindset. We're dealing with Nazi war crimes. And I don't know where to go with that, okay? Because the whole system's all upside. I don't know where do you go with that other than to keep a record, okay? Because there needs to be some kind of account at some point, someday. Prayerfully sooner than later, you know, but just hold on to your records. Because you're dealing with a Nazi war crimes. Now, having said that, I'm going to bring up the issue with mirrors again. That's on millions of mortgages, okay? It's theft of intellectual property. It's stealing your name and raiding the Social Security Trust. So when we hear Congress crying about Social Security, the reason is, they're sitting there allowing the Social Security Public Charity Trust to be raided, okay, with these fake courts, with this this MERS entity that's on people's mortgages, all right? And behind MERS is a smart computer, a couple of smart computer programs that have been filed in the USTPO office. In other words, it was allowed, okay, programs to steal your name, your identity, raid the public trust, and go into private and raid your estate and your children's estate, okay? And that's what that MERS is. And that thing was allowed, this predatory this predatory commercial entity was allowed to enter states and start doing businesses, okay? I mean, this not, when I say a computer program, like in my situation, and I'm sure many other people who are homeless, it predicts, it orchestrates, it fixes, it collaborates with all the other computer systems and all the systems to make sure to damage you, ruin your reputation, destroy your career, to put you in a position to force you into non-performance, okay? And then they turn around and say, well, you're not performing. You're not paying in the mortgage. Well, that's because this program has been built into this MERS system to destroy people. It's like destroying, it's like somebody buying a car, loading up the car with insurance, and then wrecking the car and collecting the insurance. That's what this whole thing is for people who have, have lost their home. 10 to 1,
you know what?
Is related to that computer program. Now, this is Nazi because it's taken away mine and many other people's right to self-determination, okay? I have a future. I work hard. I work harder than most people who are going 9-to-5 jobs, okay? And it's taken away my right to self-determination. That's why I'm calling this Nazi war crimes. And then they have these little secret bidding process, secretly, okay? All right, I'm going to give you some more pension money if you, do this and do that and do this, to this person. That's where you get into targeting. I mean, I can go, I'm just fed up. I'm tired of fighting courts. I'm tired. People shouldn't have to fight so hard for justice in this country.
Can I say something? This is,
yes.
You touched,
yes,
on a point. And when you said you're tired of going into their courts, that's exactly what Christ said. He said, why do you keep going into their courts for justice? And what he,
right,
was talking about, what he was talking about is, look at, as Christians, as people that believe in the rule of law and do unto others, we shouldn't be looking into their evil courts. If we pulled together and had a revival, we would be,
right,
taking care of this amongst ourselves in our churches. In other words, if,
right,
parents had a problem, you would look at, and,
right,
you can even do it today. Do you realize,
right,
that? I don't care if you're in the family court.
Right.
You can,
right,
say, we agreed to an arbitrator. You and your husband, whoever, you can remove yourself from that court,
right,
and they give,
right,
you an arbitrator, and you can,
right,
and whatever you decide is it's just,
right,
like, look at, the Muslims want Sharia law. Basically, that's what they,
right,
want to do. They,
right,
want to say,
right, right,
we're going to take care of. Look at, we should take a lesson from that.
Right,
they're
right,
doing,
well,
what we should be doing.
Well, I'm an advocate for that, and I am, well, number one, this whole no-fault divorce business was concocted by the Bar Association, number one, okay?
Right,
so that's half the problem. It's a commercial enterprise.
Exactly.
Number two, in my situation, what they did, they picked who's the most vulnerable of the marriage, because it wasn't perfect, no marriage is, but this thing came in, set up the husband with fake charges, had risk of deportation hanging over his head. I'm the American, so I had all the assets and all that stuff, and I was the main target, okay? Like,
right,
so
right.
He went to court. I lost custody the first day based on fake medical records. I mean, it's based on other people's, not even me, but my name's on it, and I'm forced against my will to participate in this circus in order to have access to my son. So out of that, naturally, I didn't comply because the whole thing's evil. I don't even want, it's not even my jurisdiction, and I end up in jail and, God knows, criminal charges on top of it, 2 foreclosures. The second foreclosure was totally fraudulent because I won my case. But no, they take the papers and they hide the tapes and they switch everything around so I lose, you know. So it's like, it's after fighting against my will, by the way, it's all Admiralty commercial.
Yeah.
Against my will. That's the thing. When you hang, I have it. I go to God all the time because I know, you know, the other stuff I could deal with. But when you take somebody's child, I haven't found how to be in peace in that.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, because I'm trying to just live in peace and you know,
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, look at even
I'm trying
win.
To be in peace.
Look,
but there's no,
said,
there's
okay,
no way.
You're right, and we're wrong. We're going to give you a bunch of money. It still doesn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? That's your child, and you can't.
There's no. You can never replace what.
Right.
I mean, the time was gone, but you know what? There's a remedy. There has to be at least an acknowledgement that Nazi crimes are going on this land. The state is underwater, and they're cherry-picking people of who to traffic, who to destroy in order to bring in revenue.
Well,
so,
you know,
I mean, there needs to be honest, this forgiveness and honesty. Okay, and now they got all the employees that they're like the collateral Nazi workers because they don't want to lose their job, you know.
Right,
and
right.
So it's like the same paradigm that's being up. Right, and it's sad, and I kind of feel bad for them, you know. Like,
yeah.
I took a relative to go get his license, and there's one piece of document he missed, and so I had to take him back. I said, just be patient. You're dealing with not. Just keep going and going and going, and eventually you get it, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm just, it's not like I never accept this. You know, but it's like you have to find a way to cope. And, you know, I can't sit there and change the whole government around. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
you
have to cope.
I'm telling you, it seems that there is a light at the end of the tunnel right now. And you're a pioneer because you were in it early. And you know all the ins and outs of what they do. And I hope that you could take the knowledge that you've gained. And when the time is right, that you can use it. To fix it, because we need people when the time is right to come in there and tell their story and even advise other people about how what they do. I'm telling you,
I know exactly how they do it. I know who does it. I know exactly.
You're going to be an asset to people because even though maybe you didn't fix yours and maybe it was too late for you or whatever, you still have this knowledge.
I just found out. Well, I always had this hope that, no, because somewhere in life, wait a minute, this isn't, something's not working right. You know, nobody's listening to me. I'm a dead person. I mean, they hate me. I mean, it's like, it's because I was Christian. I mean, they made a joke out of my faith. I mean, it was a joke. And I did go to churches for help, and nobody, they were all terrified. I mean, I got arrested in front of a church. Huh? I got arrested in front of a church. But, I don't even want to name names. It's just...
You go in for sanctuary, huh?
I did. I tried that. The door was locked. I did. I have stories. But, you know, God bless everybody. The door was locked. Yeah. And so, but anyway, I mean, you know, really, prayerfully, I have nothing against these employees. I know they're having a hard time of it, you know, and they got these
bad
people.
They got all the reason in the world to hate their job now, don't they?
Yeah, well, what I'd love to do is get into, because I have a master's degree with credentials, you know, whatever, to get in, to chip into that mental health industry there, you know, but any... Oh, God, don't have me going on that one. But prayerfully, God is sovereign. There's more of us, more and more praying. A lot of people are getting saved through this. A lot of people are finding the Lord. Because really, what's keeping me going is Him. It's the hope through Him, and that people will rise up and find strength in Him to turn this around. And we got to clean out our military, and stop experimenting on people and things like that, you know? And, but it, I just rely on him no matter what. And the good people in police stations, the good people in, I love the fire stations, by the way, but good people in the in all in government, good people in, you know, I'm relying on, because in the end, light overcomes darkness, inevitably. You know, so I want to thank you all. You guys are very encouraging, and we just have to keep the faith.
Very good.
God
well,
bless.
It's good to hear from you, and come around again, and we'll chew the fat. We'll chew the fat some more. But look, there is a light, and it's going to happen. And you're very knowledgeable, so you have a place in this. Okay.
That's because I kept running, bumping my head against the wall. That's
you're
how I worked.
You're going to learn it, whether it's the school of hard knocks or soft knocks. You learn it either way, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you very much.
Anyway, God bless you.
Yep.
Take care.
Okay. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Linda from Virginia. You made it.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little low, but I can hear you.
Okay, let me... Actually, I did not have a question. I was just showing a friend how to ask a question, and that wants to listen to the program. So I don't really have anything.
Maybe that was your friend that jumped in right after you. She could be waiting behind you. I don't know.
Anyway, do you have anybody else in the queue?
I got one more person. So if you need to talk about something, we have some time. I mean,
there's one thing I want to talk about, and it's not about me. I know someone, and he was driving his car, and he was stopped by a policeman, and he has a speech impairment, so. When he was stopped, the policeman thought he was, you know, maybe she might have thought he was under some influence or something. So, but then she didn't cite him, and she let him go. But then afterwards, she called it in to the DMV. Then the DMV suspended his license. And after that, it became a nightmare. They told him that he had to get an evaluation. So he started into that whole thing and getting an evaluator and getting evaluated and all this. And it just became just like a horrendous thing, you know, to try to get his license back. And he finally abandoned that whole thing because it was just ridiculous what he had to do. And so he gets the evaluator, they evaluate him, and they tell him that he can drive, but he can only drive within 20 miles of his home or whatever.
What's that all about? I never heard that.
Yeah, well, I can just tell you what happened, you know, and then they told him that he had to take the road test and the written test all over again. And this man's like, you know, he's a little bit older. So he's been trying
What state is this? What state is it?
Virginia.
Because I know, like, Florida had a lot of problems with older drivers. And what they did is they instituted, a program when you're over a certain age, then you have to go in and become evaluated again to make sure that you're competent. And, I mean, you know, in many cases, that's not a bad thing because, you know, you get people and they start to become a little bit, slow or senile or whatever, and they're driving cars and they can be dangerous. So, but, you know, anything that they institute, they can abuse, and that's what they end up doing and make money off of it. You know, it's a good idea in the beginning, but then somebody learns that they can make a job for themselves or they can collect money, and then you end up with all this baloney, you know?
Right. Yeah, those evaluators are – it's a whole industry or something now. But anyway –
You know what they do? I don't want to what they do here is they put you through a class. Like, let's say for if you got caught drinking, so then they make you go to a class. And if they don't have enough new people coming in to the next class, if the cops didn't catch enough people, they go through that class and they say, you got to redo it again because I don't think you learned your lesson yet. They keep the class full. That's what they do. And they make you pay for it again. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the evaluator was like almost $500. And I know, but anyway, so the evaluator said he could drive. You know, that wasn't an issue really. And he had to go to the doctor, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says he can drive. The problem is he's been trying to take the test, the written test, and he can't pass it. And the funny thing is he passes the test, except on this test they've got it arranged so that the first 10 questions are about signs. You know, they're like traffic or stop signs and all the signs that you see, you know, when you're driving. He always, somehow, you have to get all 10 of those right. And if you even miss one, you fail the test. So what has happened is he's taken it several times and he passes the test, but he doesn't get all 10 of those sign questions right. He like misses one. So every time he's failed the test. And he's just become more and more discouraged about it. And I really, you know, this is a fairly intelligent man. I'm thinking that the test is rigged, you know, and that it's
Is it written? It's a written test, right? Is he having trouble with the
written? It's on the computer, you know.
You said he had some kind of a speech impediment thing. He could demand that they give it to him orally, and he may be able to pass it better. He's probably so stressed taking this freaking test. If he did it orally, he's taken it enough times. He probably knows every question in there. So he should try to take it orally. That might be what he needs to pass it, you know? Force him to give it to him orally.
I just think this whole thing is just corrupt, you know, because they're just putting you through a tremendous amount of, a ridiculous amount of, you know, requirements just to prove that, you know, I mean, why is it that an evaluation is not enough? Why do you have to go take the written test again and take the drive? Then he has to take the driving test.
I can't believe that they can hold you up because you miss 10 questions that have to do with fines. Like, they want you to be some kind of Kentucky lawyer. That doesn't even sound constitutional, that they can force you to answer these 10 questions. You can get these questions wrong, but you can't get any of those wrong. That whole premise to me is discriminatory. I mean, I can sit here and rattle off a bunch of names. They should not be able to do that. And obviously it's a setup because he keeps failing it on them. You know, are they?
Yeah, and I don't even think I really think, you know, I'm just to the point where I really think that the test is rigged, and no matter what he does, he's not going to pass. You know.
Well, I think you should try to take it orally. It would be nice if you could get somebody to film it too. That would really make them under stress now, there, wouldn't it? But it's a shame. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know what I mean. They're making money, obviously.
Okay.
You know, you should find out how many other people they're doing this to.
He's still driving. He's been stopped a couple times. And what happens is he has to go to court, and then he has to pay a fine, you know.
Yeah, but they'll put him in jail eventually. They call it aggravated unlicensed.
Yeah.
You can't get caught too many times driving. Yeah. Well, they can put you in jail after 3 times, I'm telling you.
Now, I found out that I've been in court, and I've listened to people go up there, and it apparently it tends to be about 4 or 5 times. So, but there's the number.
I think that's because it's the benevolence of the judge, maybe. You know what I mean? There's a certain discretion.
Listen to this. They also will do that if you don't pay fines. They'll take your driver's license away. Mm-hmm. So the state of Virginia, there 1 in 6 drivers are driving without a license. 1 in 6.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. We should all turn our licenses in. I don't think any of us need licenses. That would fix them. We shouldn't be asking your permission to drive. This is getting to be stupid.
It's out of control.
Yeah, it's out of control. We have a right to travel, and if you can't prove that I'm doing injury to somebody, you got nothing to say. You know.
Well, I do know if you don't pay your court fines, they will take your driver's license, and they had introduced a bill to get rid of that, so that they couldn't take driver's license away. But then the assembly heard the bill, and they tabled it until 2019.
Yeah.
And the reason was because after you go through this whole thing that you have to do, in the end, you have to reinstate your driver's license. And they charge you $145 for that. Well, $100 of that goes to a trauma fund of some kind. Who knows what happens with the money there?
Yeah,
but
it goes into the retirement accounts.
Exactly. Who knows where it goes? It's probably
exactly. It's probably
like the forfeit, the seizure money, you know. So, so they didn't want to lose that revenue stream going to the trauma fund. And that's why all these people, hundreds of thousands of people, are still suffering with their driver's license taken because...
Well, if we get our sovereignty back, that all goes to bed, doesn't it? They can't do it. They won't be able to require you to do that. The only one who will have licenses are state workers and police officers and people that are driving around on our tax dollars. Those are the ones that need to be licensed. As far as you and I go, they can't license us. We don't need to ask their permission to do these things. You know, we're the boss, not them. Oh, I'm terrible for saying that. That makes me a sovereign citizen terrorist, I know. You know, God forbid you use the word sovereignty. Well, you know what? I'm not a slave, so I have to be sovereign if I'm not a slave, right?
Yeah.
You know,
anyway, I've tried to help him and tried to help him, and I just don't have an answer for it, you know.
I don't know what to tell you. He's stuck. The only thing you can do is leave the state. You know, I don't know what else to tell you.
You know, I missed a part of that because we filed an appeal with the DMV, and we went through that whole thing, which was a complete joke. But they kept trying to ambush us during the hearing and everything. But what I wanted to say was when he was stopped, he did nothing different than he had for 20 years. He came out from his house. He went to the light that's just down, you know, from his area. He came to the light, and he turned left to get on the parkway. And then he was accelerating, and that's when she stopped him. And the reason she gave was to the DMV was that he was driving too slow. Now, you know, the thing is, he was driving slow because he had just made a left-hand turn and he hadn't had enough time to accelerate to the speed limit. But because she didn't fight him, there's no way to fight it.
Listen, if he had money to get an attorney, a good attorney, he'd have his license back already. because an attorney could tear that thing apart six ways to Sunday. And I don't usually like to advise anybody to go to an attorney because I can't stand them usually. But I'm telling you, a good traffic court attorney would get him his license back in no time. All of that crap wouldn't hold up.
We've contacted the attorneys, and they don't want to touch it because, number one, he wasn't cited, so he doesn't really even have anything to put him in court. And number two, they already know they're going to lose because they know they're up against the DMV and all that and the courts and everything. They won't take it. They will not take it. He has money. He has money, and he would pay. He would pay in a heartbeat if he could get an attorney to take it. But we can't find one that will take it.
Well, you look at that means they're afraid of the state, the DMV. I don't know. So that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I would just, I would get an attorney that's outside the town of the court. That, you know, they said he wasn't cited. Well, obviously he's in some court district, or they wouldn't be able to do it. There's got to be something.
No, he wasn't. He was not cited at all. All she did, this female...
So this is a whole administrative thing, then?
Yeah, this female policeman called it in to the DMV. That's all that happened. And alleged that he was driving slow, and that was it. And,
they sent him a notice that his license was suspended, right?
Yeah, we ordered all the information from the DMV.
Well, that's a citing, the suspension notice. That's what you go and you fight. They had no authority to suspend the license, period. That's what you put in. If an attorney tells you there's nothing to put in, I wouldn't use him because they're being lazy or something's wrong there. I don't know what it is that these attorneys are too chicken to take on DMV. Lots of attorneys win cases against DMV. Matter of fact, I think DMV is ripe for suing, to be honest with you.
Well, you know,
so
after a while...
Get somebody out of the area, though. I would, you know what I'm saying? I would get an attorney that doesn't practice in that court. You see, he's got to go to the court of where he lives or where they cited him or whatever in his area.
Right. The county.
That's the county. You don't want an attorney from that county. You want an attorney from an outside county because those attorneys, you know, they got a fight in there, and yeah, they're going up against the state. Big deal. The state, you know, once they got to go to court and the state has to start spending money, and they're going to defend it with an ADA, assistant attorney general, and all this baloney. They don't want to do that, really. And as long as that attorney wins over there and he doesn't have to go up in front of that judge again, it doesn't affect him so much, you know, because when they bring cases in their local area, they get friendly with the court and the judges. And, of course, they don't want to fight them because, you know, they're depending on that judge treating them good when they go in there. So there is some politics in this, whether you like it or not. That's just the way it is, you know. So that's why you want to get somebody who's not in that area. Because it doesn't affect him politically, is his livelihood if he wins in that court, you know? Anyway, I don't know what else to say there.
Yeah, I just wanted to, since I had nothing else to talk about, I've been wanting to address that. And
traffic cases are always big black holes as far as I can see. They're so disgusting and they're so convoluted and they don't make any sense and they just get and usually they end up being one big horror story, you know. It's one of the biggest things they do to us, that, you know, this stupid traffic court, and they make a lot of money, the towns do, on it. That's why they're doing it, because they're making money.
But this thing with licensing is just—it's just out of hand, out of control, you know.
Right. I don't know. Something about it, maybe. You know, I don't know if that'll be one of the last things to get fixed, or one of the first things to get fixed. It's, you know, everybody. The trouble is nobody wants to give up their little gravy train. That's the problem. Who's going to do it first? You know. They might actually have to go out and get a job.
I just think the whole thing is unconstitutional because it's just way too burdensome for, you know.
That's constitutional. The fact that you got to ask permission to drive a car, you have a right to travel, and who and they can't take a right and license it, and they're telling you that driving is a privilege. Yeah, since when?
Well,
you
first
know?
Of all, you know, it shouldn't be that somebody just calls DMV, and then you're put into this horrendous, you know, you can't get there.
Well, you
kind
see,
of process.
It's only because they DMV took the advice of the cop or whatever. And I'm no attorney or anything like that. I can't give legal advice per se, but if it was me, I would have sued that cop, brought her right into court. That's because she's the one that started this thing. I would have brought motor vehicle and the cop into court and made a case out of it. I would have not allowed motor vehicle to send me paperwork and say, you need to do this, this, and that. I'd say, I beg your pardon. I would sue the cop and I would sue motor vehicle, the two of them. And I mean, if you can't find an attorney to do that, then I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? I just, then you have to learn how to use the court system yourself. But, you know, it's such an uphill battle. But that would have been, look, he's already in this system and he's already complied with some of their crap. And so now it's like he gave them jurisdiction over himself. You know what I mean? It's hard to fix things once you do, allow them do certain things. It's very harder to fix it than if you resist it in the beginning and you put a show cause in, show how you have jurisdiction to do this, show that you got jurisdiction over me, show me that you had probable cause. Show, I mean, I could just go, you should rattle that whole list off right in the beginning, blah, 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 and they know that you're serious, and a lot of times they'll drop the case just to get out of it because they can see that there's a big can of worms coming here. You know?
But people don't realize what the process is until they get
part
of the way through.
We need to educate
and then
ourselves.
You realize that you never should have done anything, you know, that
exactly.
You never should have tried to comply.
But you know better. And people listening to the show tonight will know better, right? So the word's getting out.
I actually didn't know better in this, you know, in this environment.
I'm saying, you do now, right?
Oh, I do now, yeah.
Yeah, you do now, so it's like, you know, words getting out. And, yeah, we're learning by, like that other lady said there, banging our heads against the wall. Yeah, eventually something goes in there, right?
But something has to be unconstitutional about making,
it's,
you know,
all
I feel
unconstitutional.
Like,
it's all, look, we don't have good courts to go into. That's why they're getting away with it. We just don't. And this whole traffic thing, we could go on forever because it's one of the biggest boondoggles going. But look, I've got a couple other people. We don't have that much more time.
Okay. All right.
It's been,
thanks so
okay.
much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we got 7225, last four letters you've been, or numbers, excuse me, I'm getting punchy.
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
I go by Feather, I'm in
Heather?
Minnesota. No, Feather, like a bird, like a F like Frank.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm known as Feather on all these calls, but it's sort of a huge question. I don't really know what to ask exactly, but I agree with the other lady that was saying, she was talking a little bit about targeting. And so I have experienced that. And my concern, and I know this might be way unusual and outside your scope and stuff, but like, what can you do when you suspect that you're being, I believe that a lot of people are being experimented on without their consent. And more it's looking like that might be the case with me, with all the bizarre symptoms that, you know, I have to be careful claiming and everything, but it's just these people, I don't know. I'm seeing more and more evidence that that's what's going on, but it's hard to get,
look, that's a,
we're not allowed, huh?
It's a very touchy thing. And people will look at you like you've got three heads and they won't believe it. And part of the problem is that they'll also eventually you become paranoid, because if you get a couple confirmations, it's very easy to think that everything is coming from there. See, that's what you have to be careful of, and that's how they get you. That's how they drive you crazy. If they target you, all they got to do is once or twice, and then anything that looks like a coincidence, you know, you end up beating yourself up thinking it's them. They see, they don't even have to go after you after a while. Things start happening, and you start drawing connections where they don't belong. Now, the best advice I can give you is, You have to become strong in your spiritual life and believe that God's going to put a protecting hand over you, and he will. I mean, look, I wouldn't even be in NLA doing what I'm doing, putting myself out there. I got wives and kids and a business. And look, they could target me anytime they want to, you know. And I believe that, you know, I have to rest in the faith that God has a protecting hand over me because I'm doing his work. You know what I mean? And so it's only by my faith that I'm able to do this. And I see miracles every day in my own life and other people's lives. And that's where you need to get to. You'll know what to do when you can become centered and calm spiritually, so that they don't have you so frazzled that every time something happens, even when it's not them, you think it's them. You see, because that's their plan. If you are being targeted, they don't have to do it as much as you think they are, because there's so many other things coming in all the time. It's very easy to draw lines. And sometimes you're not even being targeted. They hit all of us with this stuff, but you're sensitive to it, and you feel it. We all get hit with all kinds of crap all day, but much of us are oblivious, and we don't even know why we don't feel good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they may have certain radio waves coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm pretty good. I know when I'm being hit and when I'm not. I mean, I'm trained as a healer, and I know how to keep myself in perfect health. And these are really bizarre things. I mean, I had a 12 to 14 hour headache a week and a half ago that left me with stroke like symptoms for no reason. And it was precipitated by me talking about the forbidding topic. There are certain topics that if I talk about them, I'll get, let's just say bizarre symptoms immediately. So it's all very full of patterns.
Let me tell you something that I've discovered. There are certain things I can say that make Satan target me. And I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about those powers and principalities. They will target you if you're doing God's work. And you need to have a defense against that within you. You said you're trained as a healer. Well, that's physical, mental, and spiritual. You do the whole thing. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, you're a lot more powerful than you think you are, you know? And I mean, there's no place that I can send you to go to verify any of this. The only thing that's going to help that is when the bottom comes out of the system and they no longer have the wherewithal or the funds or the reasons to do this. You know what I'm saying? So if you talk about a subject and they target you, they must think you're pretty important, because I don't think
I did.
People have to be listening or something. You know what I mean?
They're worried. I did journalism. I did journalism 8 years ago, and I wrote an article defending disabled children, and the entire Minnesota legislature read it, and I know it helped influence an amendment getting passed. So
yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell you, you also can get that one employee, that one person that obsesses on you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Targeting you because you ticked him off by what you did, and so he's targeting you. And I don't know how to tell you, you know, to determine that.
There are situations too. Yeah, they're involving authority figures, and I found out that one of them slandered me, and so it's possible that somebody put me on a terrorism watch list fraudulently. And I know it's done to a lot of people, probably. I mean, I don't know 100%.
Okay, if you're not on there, if you're not on that list, you're no friend of mine. You know, they got so many lists, they should be scared, because we outnumber them.
So,
I'm not.
Mostly I want to, yeah.
Huh?
No, I was just going to say that mostly I wanted to comment that I understood what that other lady was talking about, because I go through some of this stuff too.
Right.
No, and I think that we need to, yeah.
There's targeting and there's I think the whole system targets us. I mean, I know there's specific stuff that you're talking about, but we're all targets. Every day we go out, we're targets, you know. You get in your car,
yeah.
You target right away, you know.
Yeah, I'm under 24/7 surveillance, illegally. It's pretty bad. I mean, it's really bad. I can't even express how bad it is. But I mean, other people have it as bad too. There are other targets I know, especially whistleblowers, that have it as bad or worse, you know, so I understand. And it's like yesterday I was researching the medical research aspect of it, and I was shocked because I was discovering places around here that have contracts with all these different government agencies and all this grant money that they get to research all these biomedical things, and it's like, well, where do the research subjects come from? Well, it comes from people like me, probably. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. And I know that, anyway, all this stuff can be proven somehow. It's just nobody's really proving it, but I forgot what I was trying to say. While I was researching, both ankles suddenly got, like, instantly horribly itchy, and like spontaneous scratches just popping up on my ankles, and it was horrible, and it swelled up my ankles, and I had to put ice and all these remedies, and you know, and I was researching something that was really sensitive, you know, but it's just so awful. But I know it happens to a lot of people, and I know that to some degree everyone's targeted, but I am pretty sure that, you know, not everyone's targeted to the degree that people like I am, and so So I don't expect you guys to have an answer, and I already have ideas of how I can go about it, you know, but we have some challenges, you know, mainly like the other lady said, she wants to chip away at the mental health system. Excuse me, they got it in the DSM decades ago, this Nazi-created psychiatry system that if you talk about these things, if the government's following you, blah, 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 that they're going to call you a paranoid schizophrenic. And I think, is one of the biggest problems. Like, I just read a story in the mainstream news about an 18-year-old girl that was medical kidnapped by the Mayo Clinic, and they tried to get guardianship over her. You know, so probate fraud, you know, is a big thing. Guardianship fraud, is, you know, it's happening to
all
a lot
time
of people.
We hear about it all
yeah,
the time here.
Yeah, especially the veterans. Like, that's one of my special interests is the veterans, because it's such a horrible thing they're doing to them. But that's their main like fallback as to why you can't talk about it, because their radar is going to go off and say, oh, they mentioned this, and then they're trying to call you crazy, you know, and so you can just a lot of times narrowly escape that whole thing and just keep your mouth shut as much as you can and be careful what you say, but it's just horrible how, you know, that we have to live like that. But
okay, Feather, thank you very much, and I hope that you can cope, and I like to give advice, but I don't always know what to say about certain things. I don't have every.
It's okay. Yeah, that's a big topic. And
I'll tell you something that I won't mention any names, but I go far afield with stuff. We had I was talking to somebody, and he felt that all the electronic stuff that was going into his house around this apartment, because they had a lot of smart meters and all this other stuff, that certain nights he couldn't sleep. It would keep him up and it would do crazy stuff. And we got talking, and we came to the conclusion. I said, why don't you try one of those emergency blanket tents? They got foil on the outside of them. Well, you know, he put it over his bed, and he crawl in there, and he claimed that he gets perfect night's sleep after that. So that's just a crazy idea that...
It's totally sensible. I think that's totally...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, thank you. No, it's true. There are things that we can do. It's just that there are different levels to this, but it's true. It's I totally believe that helped that guy. So yeah.
Okay. I got one more person. I only got a few minutes, so thanks. Nice talking to you.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. North Carolina, April, you are on. You made it.
Hey, Gerard. I have some advice for her. Record and post. Keep recording and posting no matter what. We're all targeted. So keep
there
recording and posting. Yep.
Right.
I wanted to ask you a question. I was watching a video recently. I can't find it, and I've been searching everywhere trying to find it. I was telling, I forgot her name already. My brain, I'm so tired right now. Anyway, this video was talking about foreclosures, and the lady was explaining things, and she said something that just rung a bell in me, and I wanted to know if you knew about it. She said that 15 days, I'm not sure if it was after your house forecloses or after you don't make a payment, that your mortgage is paid off to the bank through an insurance, through the Federal Reserve. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, because they're backed by the FDIC, and that's exactly right. See, these banks, that's how they collect extra money. And then
right.
And then they get paid off through whatever agency that is. It's usually through the FHA or one of those other HUD or one of them other ones who underwrite and back these loans. But
right.
they get paid everything you paid them. Then they get paid from the government for that bad debt, but yet they package up that bad debt and they sell it. This is like what we sold China, those bad mortgages. They'll sell it discounted to some other company, so they've made money on it three times.
So they take away your home even though they got paid for your home.
That's right. They take it away. And
it was Crystal. I was talking to Crystal Mack, and I was telling her about that, and I told her she needs to investigate that more and use that in her foreclosure.
Yeah. Well, Crystal's a force of one. She's very knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to send her some stuff on this video that I just ran across. I don't know if you know April Lejeune. She's got a really good one out, you know what I mean, that tells people how to get out of the system. And, you know, we just discourage people from filing all this crazy paperwork and declaring themselves a state citizen and that. But what's happened is a lot of people have tried it. A lot of it is kooky, but some of it is actually right on. But, you know, you got shills out there purposely telling people to do the wrong thing so they get jammed up so that
That's
people
right.
don't know how to stay out of the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do this thing or that thing, and they end up putting themselves in a bad jurisdiction, and then they get caught. But it seems to me that this April Lejeune, who is very popular, by the way, she does like advising on money matters, and you know she was an investment banker, but she runs a thing where she tells people what to do with their money and that. So she's very smart in that respect. But now she's on to this thing about removing yourself from the system. And she said, look at all the politicians, Hillary, this one, that one. One of the reasons that they don't go to jail is because they're sovereign and we're not. She said they went ahead and filled the paperwork out and they declared themselves and they're no longer debtors. So if that's true, this woman is very professional, and I wouldn't expect her to put something out there that she would get burnt on, you know?
Is she on YouTube?
She's on YouTube.
I got to look her up.
and I think if you poke in there, why Hillary Clinton isn't in prison, and then slash what they know that you don't. It's about an hour long. I didn't even finish watching the whole thing, but it sounded pretty neat, you know. And I mean, it's a schooling, and apparently she has some information. So I'd like to.
What's the name again? Because I want to watch it.
It's April Lejeune, LA, and then JUNE, just like the month. April Lejeune.
Okay.
And if you put in why Hillary Clinton isn't in prison, what they know that you don't, it'll come right up.
Clinton. You know they're going after her?
Who?
They say that I was reading something where they're finally going after Hillary Clinton. They're going to try to put her in prison.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, they had to save her till last.
Yeah, right?
<'Cause>
I know they fired two FBI agents.
You got to understand, she's just a puppet too. She's not on the top. She's just their main operative, but she's not the puppet master, you know.
Yeah, she's just one of them.
Yeah. She's a master puppet, but she's not the puppet master, okay?
Yeah.
So her day is coming very quickly, you know?
Oh, yes. I wanted to tell you also, you were talking about how the government, how they rip you off with tickets and everything else. I wanted to let you know they're also doing the same thing in jail. I have several people under my charge that families don't know how to do the send them money, and so they send it to me to send them. And they're actually taking the inmates' money. One person, this wasn't even through me, one person received $700, and the prison took his money and refuses to give it back to him and won't even send it back to the person that sent it.
They never saw a scam that they didn't like.
Yep.
Everything's
so
a
doing,
scam.
Yep,
anytime there's
doing
money,
exactly right.
they just can't help themselves, can they?
Yeah. No.
What did I say tonight? They call it the criminal justice system. Now you know why.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Well, let's give you a little, short little update with my son. We're doing habeas corpuses the other way. And the court informed us that we had to give a financial statement of what he has gotten for the past year. And for the past several months, I have been fighting with the jail to get that financial statement, and they are messing up his lawsuit to keep him in jail.
Well, what do you mean you're going in? You don't want to pay money. You want to go in parpor, so they want to see him.
Right.
Right. So, look, he's in jail. What could he be getting? I mean,
The courts are now requesting that you get a financial statement from the jail for the past year in order to claim that.
From the jail. So, come on, what could come into the jail? Promissory money? I mean, come on, give me a break. He had four Marlboros, I mean, you know, and a couple of lollipops. You want.
That's exactly what they're doing.
And then
you try to ask the jail to help you with getting it, even though you know it's ridiculous, and that jails are just, they're hindering everybody's lawsuits and just killing people.
Yeah, it's another stall tactic, that's all.
Yep, yep. So I wanted to let you all know that. But I thought I'd put my little 2 cents in there because when I seen that about the foreclosures, I was like, well, if they're getting the money for through an insurance, that means the house is paid off. Why are they taking people's houses then if it's paid off?
Right. They
right?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have the title. They
that's
never
a,
did.
That's right. Look, that's the rabbit hole, isn't it, that we've been going down all night?
Yep, yep. And even though I'm not going through foreclosure, I'm helping with the foreclosures, and I'm going to keep on looking and seeing what I can find to help everybody out. Like you said, information is the key. Let's trade our info.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to do it one step at a time. All right. You have a good night, Gerard.
You too. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I see Brent over there. He just disappeared again. I didn't know he was in here. All right. Boy, you got away easy tonight, Brent. When did you get in here? We were supposed to watch when you came in and engage you and wind you up. You didn't get a chance. I guess we'll have to do it next week. Got any last words for us before we close, Brent? You got like 2 minutes. Look, I don't know where you went. I'd unmute you. You were in an active speaker thing, but I don't see you now. But I guess if you're not in the queue, then we'll get you next week. I tried. I gave you a whole 2 minutes. There you go. Yeah,
yeah.
How you doing, Brent?
All right. I say I've been listening, and of course I always learn a lot. But there is one thing I want to mention. According to my clock, I got 3 minutes. Is that all right?
Yes, go ahead. Why do you think I call them?
one of the members emailed me this week and asked me about titles of nobility of lawyers, and that comes up a lot. We've mentioned it a few times. Mm-hmm. He said he was on another conference call, and it was a conference call about common law, and they had a lecture, had a lot of people on. He brought it up, and he said he got slapped down. The fellow running the conference call said, that's a non-starter. We don't need to talk about that. Waste your time. I looked up the fellow that was leading the conference call and was a teacher, supposedly. and didn't know him. I don't know all the reasons why he said that. But at any rate, this fella emailed me and asked me what I knew about it. And if I could just take 1 minute, maybe two now, and say again, I've been a lawyer for a couple of decades or more, and I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic, which our Constitution requires of all officers of government, and that includes lawyers because they're officers of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of any lawyer that's ever taken an oath to the Queen of England. The title of Esquire is sometimes written after the names of lawyers, just as the title Mister is written. I've looked into the history of the title of Esquire. At one time was above a gentleman, below a knight. But when you read the history of that title, Esquire, you discover that the English themselves, through the centuries, never knew exactly how to define it, and there are many different opinions. It's dubious at best. But even at that, even if a fellow calls himself Esquire, in order for it to violate the Constitution, it would have had to be granted by the sovereign of another country.
Right.
And as far as I know, that's not happened here. I can only give you my personal testimony. I do think that lawyers are in a business a lot of times, that they promote their own interest by promoting the system they're in, and I do see that presently it's getting plumb out of hand, and lawyers aren't picking up their duty to defend the law of the land, which is the Constitution of the United States. They are, in a way, the official defenders of that. I don't see it happening. But I do see Americans, just Americans, without any fancy degrees or titles, picking up the slack. They're doing it in their own simple way, and I applaud all of it. I want to see more of it, and the folks that call in on this show have the right spirit. They want to see something done, and I know that you folks are doing all you can, learning all you can, and I'm trying to learn too. But don't focus on beating up lawyers. It won't get you anywhere anymore, and we'll focus on beating up politicians. Right now, they hold the levers of power. The thing that will remedy this lawlessness that we see is for us to learn and to keep, that means safeguard, and to do the true law, and that's what I hear folks talking about here. I wanted to say that. That's all I wanted to say. Mark, thanks. I enjoyed listening to the
question. Well, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry that I beat up on lawyers so much, but you know what? I've been recommending, there's certain things that people can't do. You have to have attorneys. Look, people are just not capable of navigating the courts. You know what I mean? Everybody. If you sit down and you study it, there's certain things that you don't have time to do that. And, man, if you don't, I'm telling you, I told a couple people tonight, get yourself a good attorney. I mean, and then they said, well, they don't want to go up against motor vehicle. Well, that's a problem. Like you said, there a lot of attorneys are not doing their job, or we wouldn't have a lot of these problems, you know? So, look, I'm not against an attorney that does his job and lives up to his oath, and certainly I never wanted to be an attorney, you know, as much as I study the law and stuff. I when I went into business, I had a banker, an insurance man, and an attorney, and I knew that those three things were what was necessary for me to be successful, and back then that was the case. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, that's what you had to have and be in business to be successful. So I definitely respect your profession and your position. It's just that so many bad attorneys have given bad names to the rest of the group. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, thank you, Brent. And it's been a great night. And we'll meet everybody back here, same time, same station. God bless everybody.